Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. College game day, she is in Ames for tomorrow's Cy-Hawk showdown. You will hear from her at 5 o'clock tonight. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his perspective on Iowa as a 2.5-point road favorite tomorrow over the Cyclones. 2.5, still the number at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. Jack Dom is going to stop by to talk baseball with us in the 5 o'clock hour. And Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com in the 6 o'clock hour. We have no Hawkeye guest with us tonight, but that's okay because of all the weeks to not need anybody to chat with, this is one of those weeks. It's Iowa. It's Iowa State. What more could you people ask for? 319-366-1600. All that, plus we'll try to squeeze in Love It or Leave It. We got a lot to get to here, including giving away a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We are under 24 hours away from finally being able to put this week in the rearview mirror. This seems, and back me up on this, Alex, I know there are 52 weeks in a calendar year. None of them feel longer than the week that Iowa and Iowa State play football. This feels like day 9 of a 5-day work week. I don't know why that is, but it just seems you hit Wednesday and it feels like you run out of steam a little bit, and especially as we've talked about with this particular season's matchup, there isn't a whole lot of news, not any breaking news, injury concerns out there. We have discussed Iowa's dinged up secondary, but there's nothing to really further this matchup along, and there hasn't been since even Monday and Tuesday when Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz talked to the media. I'm ready to go. If you gave me the option to walk out in the parking lot right now, hop in the truck and drive to Ames, I'd do it right now if it meant getting this thing over with.
Yeah, I mean, we've had nothing to go on. We've had sort of projecting as best as we can about what we think may happen, but we have a game against UNI where Iowa State didn't try to complete a pass further than 10 yards down the field seemingly all afternoon long. And we have two games, one against Miami of Ohio and one against Rutgers, where Iowa, by and large, has cakewalked their way past both opponents. So that's sort of part of the fun of this matchup, but also why this week has felt so long, because like you mentioned earlier in the week, neither team is going to say anything to rile up or put any bulletin board material out there. That's sort of on brand for them. So you have the fans sort of bickering at each other for 5 consecutive days, although it's mostly a 365 day a year thing, but mostly during these 5 days leading up to the game, that's when it reaches its highest point. And now we're less than 24 hours away, and we're finally going to see football. And all of this, all of the bickering, sort of doesn't matter once that ball is kicked off at 3 o'clock.
We did have the biggest news today is that the game day crew met with members of the media in Ames, and because of the timing, none of us were actually there. This is something that you and I did back in 2015 when Iowa played in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Championship game, where they allow the media to show up and you chat with Reese Davis and Desmond Howard. I felt bad for him, but I also found this to be funny. There's been a lot of discussion about Seneca Wallace as a guest picker for ESPN's game day broadcast tomorrow. The guest picker traditionally is someone who's really well known. And during the media availability today, which we knew that Seneca Wallace was going to be in Ames ahead of this media availability, the Iowa State media were tweeting out the comments that ESPN made that, yes, Seneca Wallace is going to be on the show tomorrow, but they're looking for a celebrity to be the guest picker.
Oh, no.
And I thought, that's a little bit of a...
That's harsh.
It's a little bit of a bruise to Seneca Wallace's ego, but did I not say this the other day, that it's no different than Brad Banks? You know, most of most people who aren't Hawkeye fans would be going, okay. So I get the love for Seneca Wallace. I really do. And it's great that he's going to be a part of the program. They chatted with Deshaunte Jones. He will be featured prominently. We know that Tom Rinaldi is doing or has done a produced piece on the Cy-Hawk trophy, the history of the trophy. So you know the Pewter family is going to be mentioned, the 2011 abomination when they decided to redesign the Cy-Hawk trophy. Those are all the things that we know about tomorrow's game day broadcast. What we really don't know at this point still is who the guest picker is going to be. They're trying to get a celebrity. And your guess is as good as mine. I felt bad having to explain who Seth Rollins was to Scott and Mark. And I couldn't come up with any better way to put it other than the fact that this guy that you don't know is the equivalent of one of the top golfers in the world. Like, if you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you definitely know who this guy is, and he happens to be from Eastern Iowa.
I've heard his name before.
He still lives in Moline, I think. I think he makes his home. He's engaged. Actually, he's engaged to somebody that we've had on the program with us before, Becky Lynch, also a WWE superstar, the man.
Friend of the show, Becky Lynch. I did not know that. You're just breaking Seth Rollins news to me right and left today. I know who he is, but all
still
the
my
WWE
money.
Superstars to kind of run together for me.
Still my money for the guest picker, although, and we've had a couple people throughout the week mention Slipknot. I did check their tour schedule earlier in the week, and they've got like a 2-week break on their tour. Slipknot probably falls into the category of celebrities that the rest of the world would at least acknowledge and know. There aren't a whole lot. There's not a pool to draw from, and Iowa State fans are going to be really bothered tomorrow if this is somebody with no ties to either Iowa or Iowa State, and they just, and we need a celebrity. We don't care if they have ties to Iowa State or Iowa. Just get us the nearest celebrity. And the next thing you know, you got, well, I know Katy Perry did the, which game did she do a couple years ago? But I'm just saying,
was that the Oklahoma game where she professed her love for Trevor Knight, the quarterback of Oklahoma? You remember that?
It may have been. And I'm just saying they're just going to go through the Rolodex and get a random celebrity at this point. That's going to please nobody. But if I'm Seneca Wallace, I'm not wallowing in the fact that the game day folks said, yeah, he's going to be here, but we want a celebrity to make the pick. Seneca Wallace is going out in downtown Ames tonight, and he's being treated like the local celebrity that he is. So I'm not worried about his ego being bruised at all. Actually, the last time that I was in Ames for something other than a sporting event, my wife and I were having dinner with my brother-in-law and his wife, and Seneca Wallace was at the restaurant that we were at. Maybe he's just omnipresent in Ames. I don't know. You go to get your tires changed, and he's sitting over there in the corner reading a newspaper. He's everywhere. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We do appreciate Hertine and Stocker for their continued support of local programming here at KGYM. Cubs in action at the moment. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates at Wrigley Field. It's 4-5, 5-4, I should say, with the Cubs ahead of the Pirates in the top of the third inning. Chicago looking to pick up some ground on the Cardinals in the NL Central race and the Brewers in the wild card race. And as luck would have it, those two teams are playing one another this weekend. And Cub fans are torn on who to root for. I'm going to say this. Alex, Ann in Solon, I want you listening right now.
I'm listening.
Kyle, you can record this and play it back and embarrass me. You need to root for the Cardinals. There's no question in my mind. You root for the Cardinals because at this point, give up on the division. Just make sure that you're in the postseason. And in order to do that, get a wild card. And so you want the Brewers off your back. I think you're rooting for the Cardinals this weekend if you're a Cubs fan.
Interesting.
Am I wrong on that?
Well, the only thing that I would point out would be the fact that the Cardinals and the Cubs play each other 7 times the rest of the season.
Which is where you got an opportunity to make up some ground there if you want, but I'm not putting any eggs into that basket.
But they do have 4 games at Wrigley, which is why I'm sort of holding out a little bit as far as painting the Cardinals as the NL Central champ. I think there's still plenty of time.
That ship, I'm telling you, the ship has sailed. The ship has sailed. Just try to get the wild card at this point. Joe Maddon says he's going to bat Anthony Rizzo leadoff for the rest of the season. I don't know whether he's completely serious about that or not, but Rizzo tends to spark things at the top of the lineup. The wind is blowing out today at Wrigley Field. The teams combined to put up 9 runs in the first inning. Looks like John Lester has settled down just a little bit. Talking baseball coming up in the 5 o'clock hour with Jack Dom from Mount Mercy University here in Cedar Rapids. He joins us every Friday for Touching All the Bases. But I imagine you guys want to talk Iowa-Iowa State. Give us your predictions. What happens tomorrow? You've heard us all week long discussing what we think will happen. We want to know how you guys think things will play out tomorrow. Give us your predictions. 319-366-1600. What are your keys to tomorrow's game? Whether you're an Iowa State fan, whether you're an Iowa fan, whether you're just somebody who wants to put some money down on one of these two teams, what do you think it's going to take to win tomorrow in Ames? 319-366-1600.
See, I feel like we've buried the lead all week long, and looking back at that game against Rutgers, your boy Sleepy D killed it.
Now,
We
found out after the game that his nickname is just Sleepy. I tried to hang a nickname on Michael Sleep Dalton and found out on last Saturday that they just call him Sleepy. That's his nickname. Everybody should have an Australian punter. I think that much is clear at this point.
Well, absolutely.
Australia's number one import.
See, Sleepy,
Outback Steakhouses and punters.
I agree with Michael in Cedar Rapids. Sleepy D is way better. You can give somebody a nickname, right? Isn't that the point of it?
I think so, but I'm going to defer to his act if he already has a God-given nickname. Sleepy's a good nickname. I'm not going to look. Anybody who listens to this, probably people out there who call me Sleepy listening to this program sometimes. You think field position is going to be big tomorrow?
100%. I look at these offenses and I'm not sold that either one of them is going to put up big numbers. I would be surprised if it's that type of shootout that we saw 2 years ago where both teams are struggling to figure out what the other is doing. Both teams are beating each other vertically and really getting the passing game going. Although I get Iowa's secondary is a little bit beat up, but still, Iowa State, do they have the chemistry between quarterback and wide receivers right now to expose Iowa in the passing game? That's a big question mark for me. And for Iowa, can they get either aspect of their offense going against Iowa State's defense that really confuses teams and has confused teams in the Big 12 for the last 3 seasons? So Iowa State is one of those teams where you feel like you can get the running game going. Every team feels like they can get the running game going against Iowa State, yet very few are actually successful in doing so. So Iowa can't get down on themselves early if the running game isn't working. They have to stick to that game plan, and that's not going to be the most popular way to go about things, because there will be some times where the offense is not moving the ball. There will be plenty of punts in this game, and that's why I absolutely believe that field position is going to play a major factor in this game for both teams.
319-366-1600, taking a look at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. 4222 says Iowa wins by 10. The defensive line and the offensive line outperform. That could happen.
Brett and Marion just says Iowa will win.
I'm glad you guys are showing your work here. It must be a long, must have been a long week for our listeners too. They're just ready for things. Yeah, I'm just going to say which team's going to win. I'm not going to explain why. They're a 2.5-point favorite. Nate Stanley has thrown 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. Iowa has, I think, the most talented group of receivers, probably that Kirk Ferentz has had in 21 years as the team's head coach. to me, there's still a mystery surrounding Iowa State here because we haven't seen them in 2 weeks. And the last time that we did see them, admittedly, they did not look all that sharp.
Right.
Which, and it's week one, you just don't know what to expect in week one.
And that's why I ask, could that mystery work in their favor? Could that work in their favor in this game?
Oh, I think they're going to do some things tomorrow, probably on both sides of the ball, that will leave the Iowa coaching staff sort of looking at one another saying, we didn't see that. They kept that off film. Or they'll do something that was on film from last season a really long time ago that maybe got overlooked. I do not think, for the record, I do not think that they were sleepwalking past you and I. The problem with that logic is it doesn't give either team any credit. You're not giving you and I the credit for going to Ames and putting it all on the line and almost beating Iowa State. And it's not respectful to Iowa State either, because you're just saying, well, they weren't really trying. They're trying to win. They were trying to win last week, 2 weeks ago, and you and I was making it extremely difficult for them. Now, were they trying to win going all out, putting everything out there? Probably not. And nobody does that in week one.
No, I don't think it's anything as far as whether you're trying to win or not. I don't think that it's anything that's said during the week or thought of during the week. What I wonder is, did Matt Campbell put his best foot forward game plan-wise going into that game? Did he put his team in the best position to expose you and I and take advantage of what you and I was going to give them defensively? I don't know. I think that there is a tendency for teams at the Power 5 level, when they're going up against an FCS team, to say, okay, well, let's not put too much out there. Let's try to change some things up. Let's not show exactly what we're going to do and put it out there for either a Big 10 or Big 12 coach to see. And that can get you in trouble. And and a lot of times it does, especially against a team like you and I, especially against the teams in the upper level of the FCS, like South Dakota State, what they nearly did to Minnesota. You are going to struggle if you do that. Now, was it that? Is that what happened to Iowa State? Or are they fighting through many more problems than they want to admit? That's the thing. That's the biggest storyline for me. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because when I'm picking this game, that's why I say it's 50-50 to me. Maybe it's a combination of both, but I think we're going to find that question out tomorrow.
We have received here in the KGYM studios via the miracle of text message the prediction of Hawkeye superfan Stumpy. We neglected to bring this to you. I believe it was a week ago. Stumpy was late. He didn't send it in time. He is 2-0 on the year and 2-0 against the spread. So some stations out there have animals as their guest picker. We have Stumpy as our pair, and this is going to surprise
Stumpy.
Celebrity, he is. Everybody
He's a celebrity.
Knows. Everybody knows Stumpy. He has Iowa winning 23-20. I'm shocked by that he has Iowa winning the game. I'm going to fall over dead from a heart attack right now. 23-20. Let's see. Yeah, he says he got busy bottling apple pie and drank a little too much of it last week to get the Rutgers selection in. But he did send it to me after the fact. So there you go. If you want to take Stumpy's advice down to Riverside and put your money on the Hawkeyes, he says Iowa's going to cover the 2.5-point spread, just barely. And speaking of Riverside, you're going to actually be down there from 12 to 3 tomorrow.
I will. We'll be broadcasting from noon until 3 from the Elite Sportsbook and Draft Day Lounge, so come on and play some bets down on the game or any of the college football games going on tomorrow, and even if you want to get yourself ready for the NFL on Sunday, join me at the Elite Sportsbook tomorrow between noon and 3, and why not stay for the game? Why not stay and join everyone there inside the sportsbook watching the game that, yes, everybody has a vested interest in, and also most people inside will have some money on.
Now, they've got a lot of TVs.
They do.
There. And I have a feeling one of them is going to be on, is it ESPN News? What station has the Memphis game on?
I think it's ESPNU.
ESPNU has Memphis and South Alabama.
Memphis and South Alabama, 19-point spread.
Kicks off at 2:30, and if you want Alex's information on this game, it's $97. All you need to do is give us a call. Oh, no, no, no.
Or you can just visit us, visit me.
I'll tell you what. There
at
you
the
go.
Elite Sportsbook between noon and 3.
He doesn't want to say it on the air. He doesn't want to get in trouble with his Memphis
It's
people.
My big game of the week.
It's his big game of the week, and the only way you can get it is by
45-unit play.
Is by getting Alex at Riverside tomorrow between noon and 3. I kid, because coming up in the bottom of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is going to be with us. He joins us every Friday throughout the football season at 4:30, offering up some selections and giving people some betting advice. He does so as a professional at Paramount Sports. Won big last weekend with the Baltimore Ravens over his own Miami Dolphins, and we'll give him a little bit of a hard time about that, I'm sure, but he'll have some thoughts on Iowa State. Purdue hosts TCU this weekend. Ohio State and Indiana play a Big Ten game. We'll get Lee's thoughts on all of those and more coming up in just a little bit. Kyle's with us in the studio, though. Kyle's got a big board update ready for you three times a day on the Todd Brawl Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. They're brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
We're counting down the hours now before College Game Day begins its coverage from Ames tomorrow morning, and some around the state are anxiously waiting to find out who's going to serve as the guest picker. Former Iowa State quarterback Seneca Wallace can be crossed off the list, as he's going to be on set for an interview, but is not the picker. As soon as we find out who that might be, which could be in the next couple hours, we will bring that to you right away. Former Hawkeye Anthony Nelson was on primetime last night in the Buccaneers' victory over the Panthers on Thursday Night Football, and he didn't necessarily stuff the stat sheet, but was all over and involved in a handful of plays. He finished with one tackle and one pass breakup on an attempted screen to Christian McCaffrey, but the Bucs' fourth-round draft pick looked good applying pressure throughout the night. Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of high school football games on the North and Main gyms. We'll have Kennedy hosting West Des Moines Valley in one of the bigger non-district games of the young season. And on the South gym, we'll have Liberty hosting Washington, Iowa. And then tomorrow, it's set to be a huge weekend of football here in the state of Iowa. And here in our neck of the woods, we can be your home for everything you need. Beginning at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning on the FMs, we'll carry the Big 12 show. And then at 1 on the FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa and Iowa State. We'll also pick up on John Walter's pregame coverage before kickoff on the main gym. And then as a nightcap, we'll carry Clemson at Syracuse, and on Sunday we'll have Vikings, Packers, Colts, Titans, and Saints, Rams.
I love the fact that all week long I've said I just don't want game day to portray the entire state of Iowa as a bunch of Bush Light swilling rubes, and we basically just said that we will drop everything to tell you who the guest picker is going to be on game day. If that does not say that this is a state full of rubes, I don't know what is. But it's all anybody's talking about. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?
Who is the guest picker?
Is it
going to be the Bush Light guy?
Do they do that? He's going to the game, apparently.
He's going
I'm sure
to the game.
Rob Howe can fill us in the 6 o'clock hour. Do they do this in Columbus when game day comes to town for like the 70th time in Columbus?
No problem.
Does everybody stop what they're doing to find out who the guest picker is? We're better than this. We're also probably better. It's not the first time it's been in the state of Iowa,
I know,
though.
But it's the first time it's been in Ames.
Well, and that apparently is part of the problem with finding a high-profile celebrity. They exist in the state of Iowa. A lot of them tend to be Iowa fans. And that's going to, look, if it's Tom Arnold, he'd need police protection to get out of there tomorrow. Ashton Kutcher, well, they probably wouldn't mind Ashton Kutcher and Ames as long as he brought his wife along with him. 4:26, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, the man, the myth, the legend, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is with us. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa State. We'll even squeeze in Love It or Leave It. It's going to be a quick Love It or Leave It here in hour number one. Maria Taylor coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Maybe she can shed some light on who the guest picker will be. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you. On Fridays, courtesy of Two Rivers Bank and Trust, find out what they can do for you in Iowa City or Coralville. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, back with more after this.
Napa Know How.
Why should you get 2 5-quart jugs of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil? Because at Napa, they're only $24.99 each when you buy two, meaning you get more and save more, which is just sound economics. That's 2 5-quart jugs of Pennzoil Platinum, only $24.99 each. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Limit 2 per customer while supplies last. Offer ends 9/30/19.
Get a floor that's 100% waterproof for life without sacrificing the style you want. The Home Depot has Pergo Outlast Plus laminate starting at just $279 a square foot. With 22 designer colors, Pergo Outlast Plus can fit any style in any room beautifully. And you can rest easy because it's waterproof. Get Pergo Outlast Plus starting at just $279 a square foot at the number one Pergo waterproof laminate flooring retailer, The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See warranty for details.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Join me, the Gym's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live tomorrow before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 KGYM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Fridays being presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Two Rivers, my neighborhood, my bank, member FDIC. We've got a lot of ground to cover today before 7 o'clock, but let's dive into it. The gambling perspective of tomorrow's Cy-Hawk rivalry, among some other games we will touch on, with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He joins us every Friday at 4:30 for our weekly segment, Odds and Ends. And Lee, before we begin, I got to give you credit, man. You had a couple of fantastic calls last week, including being all over Baltimore destroying the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me as a Dolphins fan, lifelong Dolphins fan, to see my Dolphins. I do want to get a high pick next year. I want to tank, but I'd like to at least be competitive, and that was embarrassing. So, yeah, we rate our games from 10 to 50 units. We had a 40-unit selection on the Oregon Ducks, and they went 77-6 over Nevada, and then 35-unit play on Baltimore over Miami. So I found another game, and I usually don't have a 40-unit play back-to-back weekends, but found a game in college football for Saturday. I think the line's off by 3 touchdowns, so if anyone wants to get that game, all they need to do, just go to ParamountSports.com. They can get the game individually, $97, or 3 weeks of my games on my executive phone service, just $297, ParamountSports.com.
All right, let's dive right into a rivalry weekend here in the Hawkeye State. Iowa travels to Ames tomorrow to face Iowa State. The Hawkeyes are actually favored by a couple points on the road here, their first trip outside of Kinnick Stadium. How does somebody outside the state of Iowa view this matchup tomorrow?
You know, I think they're the favorite. I think they have a little bit better talent, and they also have won the last four. So that's part of the reason they're a 2 to 2.5 point favorite here. I think this is the most hyped up Cy-Hawk clash here since the series resumed in '77. Can you think of any other game as as built up as this game in the series, guys?
No, absolutely not. And we've been saying that all week long. There's a lot of hype on both sides.
So I think I hit it on the head here. Yeah, this is, I'm hearing prices of $250 just to get in the door. This could be a great game like the Texas LSU game. Why do I say that? Because you have two very good quarterbacks. I think Nathan Stanley will get drafted in the top two, three rounds. I mean, this kid is really getting better and better every year. He's got better running backs, better offensive line, and I think the run defense is as good or better than Iowa State. So how can Iowa State win this game? I think it's Brock Purdy. I think he's got to play a game like Sam Erlinger. He's got to be on. He's got to throw for 350, 400 yards. Can't make mistakes. When he's pressured, even if, you know, throws the ball away once in a while or gets out of bounds or runs for that first down, he's got to inspire his team because he just doesn't have the weapons that Iowa has at running back and receiver. So I think it's going to be a great game. I have Iowa winning the game 26-20, and I'd probably lay the two and a half with Iowa.
Let's stay in the Big Ten. The second Big Ten game of the season, Iowa and Rutgers was the first, but Ohio State travels to Bloomington to take on Indiana. They're about a 17-point favorite. Ohio State has had some trouble in Bloomington in the past. Can Indiana make this a game?
I think that they can. You know, this line just keeps going, rising and taking off up and away. And why, you know, we're finding out now that Michael Penix has not practiced much at all this week. He's going to be a game-time decision. I personally think he's going to be a go. And I mean, he's a dual-threat quarterback, and that kind of quarterback gives Ohio State trouble. I think Justin Fields really starting to look good, but this is his first road game as a starter in college football. Ohio State started fast the last 2 weeks, but watching that Cincinnati defense, I thought they just had nothing left after the UCLA game. They were banged up. They were played out. And Ohio State just 15-19-1 as a road favorite the last decade. Indiana's won 7 of the 8 against the spread versus Ohio State. You know what? Indiana might be peeking ahead to UConn. No, I'm just kidding. I like Ohio State to win the game 42-35, but I'll take the points here. I'll take the now 18 points in Indiana.
Lee Sterling with us from Paramount Sports. Odds and ends every Friday at 4:30. Let's keep it in the Hoosier State. Purdue is hosting TCU. This is another Big 12, Big 10 showdown this weekend. Say what you will about the Boilermakers, they've at least given us some intriguing non-conference games to take a look at.
They have, and you know, they're going to score points and they're going to give up points. Here's the problem in this game. Elijah Sindelar looks like will probably not play. He's not been cleared yet, and if he does not play, I think the TCU has a distinct advantage. Now, looks like Purdue, if he's a no-go, will start a redshirt freshman named Jack Plummer. Did you hear about his history?
I have not.
Okay. So I looked him up, and I see, wow, in the offseason, I like to see every starter and every backup. I watched him play in the spring game. Wow, looks, you know, big build, looks like, you know, looks like he's got good feet. I figure, okay, he's from Arizona. Has to be Jake's son. No, not the case. No relation. So it's the most common question he said that's asked to him. So I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But TCU runs so many blitz schemes. I think it's just going to be tough for a young kid like that, even though he did come in early and play in the spring game. I think it's going to be too tough for him here. TCU uses a dual quarterback system. They use Max Duggan, a true freshman, and a senior transfer, Alex Delton, from Kansas State here. And the Boilermakers just don't protect the home turf. 14-28, the last 42 at home. Visitor, 39-18 in Purdue games here of late. TCU also had a bye to prepare for this game. I just think Patterson's defenses are fabulous. Give me TCU 34-24.
Another rivalry game featuring a Big Ten team, Penn State and Pitt. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, Pitt has triple revenge, so you know they're going to be hyped up for this game. But they lost 51-6, and you got to have the horses if you want to be able to exact that revenge. Pitt looked good for a half. And I'm writing down notes for the game. I'm like, wow, I thought this Ohio State quarterback was – not Ohio State, Ohio's quarterback – work was better than this. Then I found out after the game he was sick. So somehow played in the game, but was sick for the couple days leading up to the game. So Penn State, 13-5 run here at home. I just think that their pass rush is going to be all over Pitt. Pitt's offensive line is just not good. They don't pick up blitzes, and their quarterback Pickett just inaccurate. So give me Penn State pretty big here, 42-14.
A Big Ten Pac-12 showdown, but in Big Ten country, Michigan State is at home against Arizona State. They're about a 13-point favorite. I can't figure Michigan State out. They had their offense, especially they were really bad in week one, and then got the ship righted a little bit against Western Michigan last week.
Yeah, they did. And last year's game, if you say, you know, what's the story with Arizona State? Everyone remembers last year's game against Michigan State. It's the one game that, you know, is you know, the first thing that they think of when you talk about last season. People don't realize Arizona State, as good as they were at home, on the road, 2-5 last year. So Michigan State, I think that this is the game that put them in the tailspin last year. They lost 16-13. Defense played well enough to win. They held Arizona State to 44 rushing yards, held down Manny Wilkins, but just could not do anything in the red zone, penalties, lack of focus. But this is a different team. They were the most injured team in college football last year. So I think these guys are starting to come together. They've got a senior quarterback, and now they're not facing Manny Wilkins, who was a four-year starter. They're facing a true freshman in Jaden Daniels. Michigan State, 9 sacks already on the season in 2 games here. Michigan State, they exact that revenge, 31-10.
Your game of the week this week, Northern Illinois at Nebraska. Nebraska's about a 2-touchdown favorite. How can KGYM listeners get it from you?
Just call at the office right now, 800-400-9741. First 10 callers will give them the game for free. It's on me. We're on a roll. All my games, if you go to the website, ParamountSports.com, under recent results, see every game I've given my clients over the last 5 seasons. And biggest game of the season goes Saturday. It's a 45-unit college football major wager game where the line's off by 3 touchdowns. Just go to ParamountSports.com and purchase the game individually, $97 for 3 weeks of my executive phone service, just $297, ParamountSports.com, or 800-400-9741.
All right, Lee, and those 45-unit plays came through big for you last week. I'll be thinking of you watching that Dolphins-Patriots game this weekend.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Lee Sterling, give him a follow on Twitter, at Paramount Sports, out there making folks some money, some big plays through his service last week. He likes Iowa to cover the points on the road against Iowa State tomorrow. I believe the Hawkeyes are a 2.5-point favorite in Riverside at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge, and I bring that up. We've been talking about it all week. One of the last opportunities that we have to remind you that if you're not going to Ames tomorrow for the game, you're looking for a place to watch it, what better place than the Draft Day Lounge inside the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort? That's where the Elite Sportsbook is located, and that's where Alex Kuhn is going to be located tomorrow from noon to 3.
From noon until 3, I will be at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside, and come in, place your bets, get ready for the game, and then stay for the game. They have great food at Draft Day, reasonably priced food, and you can sit there and watch the games from noon until 3, the early games, and then I'm sure the Cy-Hawk game is going to be all over the TVs inside the Elite Sportsbook. I can't wait to get there. I'm very excited for this.
We will step aside and take a quick timeout. As always, a big thank you to Lee for joining us. We've got a lot more planned today. Maria Taylor of ESPN's College Game Day set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Jack Dom talking baseball with us as well. And then the third and final hour tonight, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for a big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll tell you everything you need to know and probably a whole lot of things you don't need to know about Iowa and Iowa State tomorrow at Jack Trice Stadium. All that to come before 7 o'clock tonight on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more of the Todd Brawlkamp Show
Amelia,
with Alex Kuhn
after this. I'm Amelia,
and
I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released. And so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome. But Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a... spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
And we welcome you back in at 4:43, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, the North and South gyms, respectively. Do want to let everybody out there know that we got a little bit of a traffic update to pass along, and in Solon, among a number of our listeners, letting us know that there's an issue on Interstate 80. I'll try to get the exact location here. Eastbound Interstate 80, eastbound, closed east of Coral Ridge Mall. Traffic on southbound 380 is backed up past North Liberty. So be aware, eastbound Interstate 80, this was about 10, 15 minutes ago, closed east of Coral Ridge Mall, and then southbound 380 trying to get onto 80 to head east. Clearly there's a backup there, so sounds like we've got even more traffic problems than normal on Interstate 380 and Interstate 80 tonight. Traffic may come up. This is going to be a record-setting love it or leave it. Can we get through love it or leave it in, say, the next 11 minutes?
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment love it or leave it. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Ann says that's a five-vehicle accident, by the way. So it sounds like it's going to take quite a while to get cleaned up there. Number one, it will live up to the hype.
I'm going to leave this. We have spent the better part of the last 5 or 6 months since we had football on our radars discussing September 14th, Iowa and Iowa State, Jack Trice Stadium, and now we know the College Game Day will be in attendance, and the hype surrounding this game is at an all-time high. I don't think that it's possible for the game to live up to the hype that has surrounded it, but I do think we're going to see a much better game than we saw last year. We're going to see offenses figuring some things out, but defenses still controlling this game. A well-played football game is sort of all I'm asking for, but I'm looking at the hype and I'm saying there's absolutely no way that the game could possibly live up to all of the billing that it's getting, and that may not necessarily be a bad thing.
Number two.
Todd, Ames traffic, if you love this.
I'm going to leave this. I've been in a lot of cities where the traffic is miserable on game days. I know, I bet Iowa State fans coming to Iowa City hate getting to Kinnick Stadium. It sure seems like there's way more ways into Kinnick Stadium than there are, at least ways into Iowa City than there are into Ames, because even if you take 35 north, you still have to get off on Highway 30 unless you go north and wind your way back down. And I'm going to leave this. If there's one city where I just absolutely cannot stand game day traffic, it's Ames. And then to top it off, I've got a grass lot parking pass for tomorrow's game. it's going to be just a sea of humanity and absolute misery there. I leave this 10 times over.
Number three.
This is a good one. Tim Tebow hates money.
So California yesterday, the Senate passed a bill, the one we were talking about, the Fair Pay to Play Act, that would allow students to profit off of student athletes to profit off their likeness. Now, Tim Tebow works for the SEC Network, got on ESPN today and went on a long rant about how when he was at Florida, his jersey was selling at the third highest level of any athlete in the world, behind, I believe, only Kobe and LeBron. And Tim Tebow went on to say, I didn't get a dime of that. In fact, I didn't want to make a dime off of that. It was about my team. It was about, we're in a selfish society, and it's about me instead of the team. And you didn't want to make a dime off of the millions of dollars they were making off of you? You didn't? So if somebody would have come to you and said, hey, Tim, here's a check for the amount of money that we owe you, based off the jerseys we're selling with your number on it, you would have just said, no, I don't want to make that money. The argument fell flat on its face, as does every argument surrounding not allowing student athletes to profit off of their likeness. Why are we trying to keep athletes from profiting off of their name? Why? Give me a reason. There is none. There is no legitimate reason. Some folks will say, well, it would make the big schools be able to recruit better. No, it wouldn't, because look, players are already going to the big schools and getting paid under the table. This would just make it legal for them to get endorsements. That's all it would do. And I look at these athletes, especially football players, and say the sacrifice that they make with their time and their bodies, why are we trying to keep them from getting compensated the money that they're owed? I just don't understand it. And when listening to Tim Tebow, I thought that it was not an argument. It was a fallacy. It was trying to compare a bunch of things that had no relation to one another. Money, making money, does not equal selfishness. And I think that that distinction needs to be made right away. So I leave his argument and the fact that he absolutely hates money.
Number four.
Cubs baseball.
Cubs baseball, I'm going to leave this, and that's saying something, because they're beating the Pirates right now 10-4, and Kyle Schwarber's batting with the bases loaded. But that San Diego series sapped me. It took everything out of me. I think I'm ready for the season to be over. I'm not even sure if I want them to make the postseason at this point, because at least if they missed out on a wild card, that would be the impetus for Theo Epstein to completely do what he needs to do this offseason, and that is, I fear, to sort of blow some things up. New manager, some new life in the clubhouse. But they are winning 10-4 right now, and they do have the bases loaded with Kyle Schwarber at the plate. So, you know what? I'm going to change that to love it.
Number five.
Kobe cannot be a coach.
Earlier this week, Kobe Bryant posted on Instagram a picture of apparently a 12-year-old girls basketball team that he coached. The caption read this way: here's our fourth place, quote, winners picture, LOL. Six of the kids in the picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh, not in the picture, missed the game due to a dance recital. So that should tell you where her focus was at this time. Wow, Kobe. Yes, this is absolutely on brand. And this is absolutely what made Kobe such a great basketball player in his heyday. Nobody could possibly work as hard and love something as much as Kobe loved basketball and put everything that they have into it, which is why he should not be coaching anybody, including 12-year-old basketball players, because he was so upset with a fourth place finish by his 12-year-old team that he went on Instagram to his millions and millions and millions of followers and scolded a 12-year-old girl for missing the game due to a dance recital. Just put that in perspective for a second. I love this.
Number six.
Thursday Night Football.
Who among us, by the way, hasn't dragged a 12-year-old on Instagram? I'm going to leave Thursday Night Football, even though it was a profitable venture last night. My God, the officiating is awful. Cam Newton looks like Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston looks like Cam Newton. It's kind of an entertaining game, but I really think the NFL needs to look at doing away with Thursday night football. The players hate it. That much was evident from watching the game last night. But the officiating really stood out to me. That and the final 2 minutes in which things become reviewable. And I thought it was just a mess all around. In particular, this last most recent Thursday night football game. I'll leave it. But hey, Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers, maybe they aren't so bad after all.
Number 7.
No excuses for Cam.
Cam Newton looked bad, and he has looked bad through 2 games this season. There are no more excuses for Cam Newton. Whether it's the injury last year, whether it was the offense holding him back and trying to make him a pocket quarterback, there were a lot of people saying, okay, well, Cam Newton's, 6 straight losses to end the season last year was not on him. Well, they've lost the first 2 games of this season, and they're saying he's healthy. He's fine. He's good to go. They need to figure it out and figure it out quickly. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about the way that he dresses, because that is just the most tired argument that I've heard all day. Who cares? If you wear what you want to wear.
Looked like Larry Johnson in the old shoe commercials playing grandmama.
It's not how I would dress. It's not how I dress, but who am I to say that that's not how? And if you guys want to dress that way, more power to you.
Babushka lady.
But he needs to perform, and he knows that. He said as much. He said there are no more excuses for me and this team. He, Ron Rivera, the offensive coordinator, Christian McCaffrey, they've got to get this figured out, and they have to get this figured out in a hurry. There's too much talent being wasted right now on this football team.
Number 8.
It's still baseball season in Iowa.
It is, at least until tomorrow. The Clinton Lumber Kings and the South Bend Cubs are playing for the Midwest League Championship, and Clinton is down 2-0. It's a best-of-5 series. They play game 3 tomorrow. Why this matters to anybody other than me, I couldn't tell you, but I've got tickets for game 4 on Sunday, and I would really like to go and see one more baseball game here in Iowa before football season officially takes over. I've got my fingers crossed that I'm going to get to see that game. They need to take care of business tomorrow night and beat the South Bend Cubs. Great game last night, rain delay, and a walk-off wild pitch. See, strange things always happen when Cubs teams play postseason games and there's a rain delay.
Number 9.
Leaving it up to the Patriots to do the right thing.
The NFL is not going to put Antonio Brown on the commissioner's exempt list. They're going to continue to investigate, which means he's going to play. It's that simple. Leaving it up to the Patriots as far as any type of reprimand or suspension for anybody, it's not going to happen. We're going to see Antonio Brown as long as he's not suspended by the league or put on the commissioner's exempt list.
Number 10.
Oh, boy. Guest pickers.
We did it. We did it. We made it all the way through. I've got a minute and 20 seconds on this one. Not that I'm going to need it. I'm going to leave this. Really, did we need this much fuss over who the guest picker was going to be for College Game Day tomorrow? Could not care less who it's going to be at this point. I think ESPN's down to whoever picks up the phone and agrees to make it to Ames in time to make the pick tomorrow. I don't know who it's going to be. You don't know who it's going to be. It really doesn't matter. But somebody who may know who it's going to be, she's going to be with us next, and that would be Maria Taylor.
You said that whoever picks up the phone and dials?
Well, they would have to call said celebrity.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hello, this is ESPN. How may I direct your call? Maria is going to be with us in just a few minutes. Maria Taylor does a tremendous job. She replaced Sam Ponder a couple years ago on College Game Day. She is in Ames on the ground and ready to roll with the rest of the Game Day crew tomorrow. So looking forward to hearing from her coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We need to take a quick break. Stick around. You're going to have an opportunity to take home a gift card to Mulligan's Pub when we return after this.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car, the car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more.
Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 12th through September 15th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
Looking sharp just got easier with 70 to 85% off Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, and more at Macy's Men's Clearance Suiting Event, online only. Have head-to-toe style in a Lauren Ralph Lauren wool suit. Originally $625, now $149.99. Plus shirts, pants, and shoes, now $14.99 to $29.99. And ace the casual look with sport coats from $39.99 to $69.99. It's all at Macy's.com. Savings on regular and original prices. Exclusions apply.
4:57, we welcome you back in. It is the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday. Pretty good Friday out there, a little chilly. It is definitely feeling like football weather here in the state of Iowa. Iowa and Iowa State coming your way tomorrow right here on KGYM, 1600 AM at 1 o'clock, the Cyclone Radio Network. Thank you to the Kurnt Brothers Bank and Lisa Nolan for their sponsorship of Cyclone Athletics. You'll hear John Walters on the pregame at 1. Kickoff is set for 3. And on our FM frequencies tomorrow, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, also at 1 o'clock before the boom, KGYM's Iowa pregame show coming your way. So we'll cover this Cy-Hawk rivalry from both angles tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to give that away sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. So in the next 60 minutes, you've got an opportunity to enjoy $30 at Mulligan's. We'll be back there on Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Don't call right now. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Maria Taylor of ESPN's College Game Day, set to join the program in just a few minutes. She and her colleagues are in Ames. They arrived last night. They've been working on their show prep all day today, hanging out with the early tailgaters, making their way around Ames. We'll chat with her and some baseball discussion on the way with Jack Dom. His weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, coming up at 5:30 as well. 6 o'clock hour tonight, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com flying solo with us tonight. So it's just him, Alex, and me breaking down Iowa and Iowa State tomorrow. As if we haven't talked about that game enough, we're going to do so more in the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the NFL will not put Patriots wideout Antonio Brown on the commissioner's exempt list for now, which means Brown could be eligible to play on Sunday against the Dolphins. Patriots coach Bill Belichick says Brown is trying to learn quickly.
You know, he's working hard to pick it up. We're working hard to get it to him. It's just part of the process. We try to, you know, get him caught up to speed as quickly as he can. It's too much ground to make up in a few days.
Belichick won't say if Brown will play Sunday. The league is investigating him after a lawsuit was filed alleging sexual assault. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports holdout running back Melvin Gordon believes the Chargers will not trade him. Gordon plans to continue his holdout but will eventually report to the team. Redskins tight end Jordan Reed out Sunday. Giants wideout Sterling Shepard out Sunday, both with concussions. Kevin Chappell shoots a 59 today in the second round at the Greenbrier, only the 11th round in the 50s in PGA Tour history. Chappell is 10 under for the tournament, three shots off the lead.
Coming up Monday, a full recap of NFL Week 2 and sizing up Browns Jets for Monday night. Plus tickets to USC Notre Dame and you tailgating with the whole Golic family. We've got your chance to win your way there. It happens Monday, Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work. But when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones. Want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only. Age 18 or older. Ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 KGYM. Friday means we are brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, and the 5 o'clock hour means it's drive time, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. In addition to being the home of ESPN Radio, we're also home for the Iowa State football broadcast. You can hear the Cy-Hawk game tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM. We'll have our Hawkeye-centric pregame for you on our FM frequencies, and all the talk leading up to this game hasn't necessarily been about the game. It's been about game day, and we are very happy to have part of the game day crew joining us on the program now. Maria Taylor, reporter and host on College Game Day at ESPN, kind enough to take some time to join us this evening. And Maria, what do you know about the Cy-Hawk rivalry so far?
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. And honestly, I'm learning more and more about it since I've landed last night. I've already seen all the RVs pulling up here. I was over at Jack Fry Stadium and got a chance to spend some time with DeShante Jones, who's been playing in this game for the last 4 years. And I know that it's the Super Bowl in Iowa. So that's what I've been told, and that's what I'm sticking to.
Can you sense the buzz around Ames already?
Yes, absolutely. We've already seen some fans kind of milling about at our game day set. I've already spent some time with fans that rolled in yesterday with their RV and set up a trailer. And I mean, it was already rocking and rolling. They had the grill out. They were kind of ready to roll for breakfast burritos. Like, everything is already starting up here in Ames.
What are these first time game day sites like? I know you've been a part of game day for a while now, and you get some schools that maybe get game day once a year. And then I remember maybe a couple of years ago, Pullman, Washington got game day for the first time, and it looked absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that was actually last year, and I can't believe it. Like, I wish every single site could be like what we saw the first time game day rolled into Washington State. And literally, we had fans meeting our driver at the state line, I felt like with signs saying, welcome here, just follow us to Pullman. And we had a huge crowd on Friday for our College Football Live segment. And that's kind of the cool part. It becomes like an entire weekend event. It's not just about those 3 hours of college game day. As soon as I landed in Des Moines, I had someone coming up to me like, I really hope you enjoy your time at Iowa. You know, everyone's really nice here, and you're going to enjoy Ames. And that's the response you get when you come for the first time to a school like Iowa State. And I think there's only maybe 10 schools left on the list, like Power 5 schools that we haven't been to. So it's always fun to get another school on the game day checklist.
ESPN's Maria Taylor joining us here on the program for a few minutes prior to tomorrow night's Cy-Hawk game. Does this ever get old for you? How much do you enjoy your job?
I always say, not many people get to go to work and have like thousands of screaming fans cheering them on as they do their job. Like, could you imagine being working in a cubicle and having someone just come over and be like, yeah, you typed that email just the right way. Like, that's what I get to come to every single Saturday morning. And that's what's so awesome about it. And being able to travel and meet different players and coaches and seeing what different traditions there are and what a tailgate looks like in Ames, Iowa versus out in LSU where they're having a crawfish boil or something. Like, it's just so interesting to see our nation through the eyes of college football and that kind of tradition. So it absolutely never gets old.
You mentioned meeting with DeShante Jones and the Iowa State football program. How are their preparations going? This is a program that has completely turned their fortunes around, but they're trying to beat Iowa for the first time in the Matt Campbell era.
Yeah, DeShante was telling me, he's never been able to beat Iowa since he's been there, and that this game was really big for him. And I think what Coach Campbell has come in and done is just changed the culture here and the level of expectation to the point where, you know, this is a team that expects to win big games like this, especially when they're at home and being able to use that home field advantage. So I think they're trying to approach it as if this is, okay, just another game on the schedule. But obviously when talking to seniors like DeJounte, it's very important. You know what I mean? Like he says that this is the Cy-Hawk game. Like we are all about it. This is what you think about during the off season when the days are getting a little bit tougher and you see how important it is to our fans and how important it is to this program. So I think that this could be a huge step in the direction that Coach Campbell is pushing the program into. And obviously he's already done some amazing things. I mean, those 8 wins last season and the Alamo Bowl, coming up short against Washington State, but still some of the things they've been able to do along the course of his tenure here are amazing. And being able to add a win over, you know, that in-state rival is just something else that they're waiting to do.
Maria, I think one of the questions a lot of people have about the broadcast tomorrow is just how much it will be about Iowa State. Have you guys made a decision? I know you have production meetings and everything this evening and into tomorrow, but what can you give us a little hint of what's to come tomorrow?
Well, I know that Coach will most certainly be on the show in the morning, so you'll be able to hear from Coach Campbell. Obviously, what we shot with Jones, that'll be running. And just trying to get a really good feel and vibe for Ames, Iowa, in any way that we can. That's what we try to do. Like, college game day is not game day, if not for the locations that we're at. So making sure that you understand, like, seeing all the fans that are going to be there. I think that we're going to have Seneca Wallace come through and spend a little time with us on the show. So we're just going to do a really good job celebrating the culture and the atmosphere that we're surrounded by. And hopefully we're making sure that we're making everyone in Ames proud and happy to be a Cyclone. Like that's what our job is. And so far we've been welcomed so well that that's certainly what we owe this town for the show.
Maria, I'm not going to ask you to spoil anything, but do you have any idea what goes into finding the guest picker?
No, I don't. Other than every single week, I'm totally surprised. I mean, being able to walk into our game day bus and see Matthew McConaughey last week and just kind of like hanging with him for 20 minutes was so awesome. And so, you know, obviously that's one of the great things about game day is like you're just looking forward to, okay, who is coming to game day this week? So I think that everyone will be excited. Everyone who shows up or camps out and spends some time there will enjoy our celebrity picker. And hopefully they can do a good job. I think Matthew McConaughey, he was like 9-2 or something ridiculous like that. So,
Maria Taylor with us from the set of College Game Day, broadcasting from Ames tomorrow for the Cy-Hawk game. When people watch game day, and it's become such a part of the ritual of a college football Saturday, I think one thing that really comes through the TV is the chemistry that everybody there at ESPN has. I assume that that's real. How does that come to be? You guys don't spend every waking minute around one another. You're together for the weekends for the most part. But how did you guys develop that chemistry?
I think we're all still just very good friends. I mean, I'll be doing Get Up on a Tuesday, and Gene Wojciechowski is going to text me and say, hey, I just caught you on TV. Or like, we'll just be chopping it up about something random, you know, or hopping on the phone with Tom and Aldi at some point. I mean, we really are. It's a great big family, and, you know, it's kind of like those cousins that you don't have to see every single day, but you know when you see them at Thanksgiving or Christmas that you're going to have a great time together. That's what I kind of view this game day family as. Like we're all relatives in some way, and even though we don't get to see each other every single day, I mean, for 15 straight weeks or something like that, we know that we're coming together and we're going to be breaking bread together. We're going to have meetings together. We're sharing breakfast. We're sharing, you know, the energy of a show. We're traveling together. So you're going to get in some of those fun moments that you're able to remember and use during the time that you're away from each other to kind of stay bonded. And I think it's also just a group that everyone knows their role and everyone's happy and satisfied in it. Like you don't see people grabbing for, you know, trying to move into someone else's lane or not happy about how much time they're getting on air. Like we just don't have any of that. Like it's very shared and everyone's doing what they're doing for the greater good of the show. Like it's not individual personalities trying to take over anything. And that's what I've noticed from working in college football. And that's one of the best parts about it. It's just, there are no huge egos and that makes it so much easier to work together. And that makes it a family atmosphere easier to create.
Maria, through 2 weeks of the college football season, I think coming in, you heard people say, well, it's Clemson, Alabama, and everybody else. I don't know. The first couple weeks have proven that those two teams seem to have company at the top. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were just at LSU in Texas, and who would have thought that new-look offense for LSU looks like 471 yards from Joe Burrow and three wide receivers with over 100 yards receiving. Like, that wasn't the expectation. We thought maybe an uptick, but not, you know, looking like Washington State. And so I think that's something cool about every single college football season. You think you know so much, and then you get into the year and you're like, well, no, not really. And then you look, I mean, Georgia is beating teams by 30 points as well. I know they haven't had like as rigorous a schedule as say an LSU, but you're looking at the top and thinking, all right, there's some challengers here. Ohio State looks pretty comfortable with Justin Fields. You didn't know how quickly he was going to adapt, but he's adapted. Oklahoma looks really great with Jalen Hurts putting up video game numbers. He adapted pretty easy, and their defense is looking a little bit better with the new defensive coordinator. So I think that those are all the ongoing questions that get answered every single week. And as we dive deeper into October and November, I mean, we're going to see everyone rise up to different challenges. And I think it might be a different top four than maybe we thought coming into the season, but that's why we play the games.
We're 2 weeks in, 3 weeks as of tomorrow. Is there a team that has surprised you with its start so far this year?
I think, you know, I was a little bit surprised by Michigan, maybe not for the best of reasons, but a slower start against Army, but still getting the victory. And what I always think about Michigan is, like, it doesn't really matter how you could stub your toe. You don't have to be perfect. I mean, remember last year, I think it was that Oklahoma was struggling against Army or Navy and still were able to make it to the college football playoff. So that's one of those things, like, I was shocked by that. But then also now seeing on the flip side of that, I could see how they could still win the Big Ten or be in a playoff. What Mack Brown has been able to do at North Carolina, you know, knocking off South Carolina, knocking off Miami, I think that's kind of like an underrated storyline that we're not talking about much, but it's something that's cool to hear in the ACC, as we're always trying to think, well, there's never any challenges for Clemson. And then you think, okay, well, Mack Brown might be building something there. You know, just the idea of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. I mean, we don't have any more coaches that have been like long live the king at their school. And he's one of those OGs that it's always great to be around him. And it's great to be around an athletic association or program that stands by their coach, doesn't make quick decisions. And he has been productive for them. And I like that longevity. I love being around coaches like Coach Ferentz. So, you know, that's something, too, that's been cool and just an underrated story.
You mentioned Kirk Ferentz, and I think here in the state of Iowa, we kind of see from the inside of how we perceive the program. What is the national perception of the Iowa football program?
I think when you're talking about Iowa, you always know that you're going to get a well-coached team. I mean, off to a great 2-0 start, and, you know, even though it's like, okay, yes, we played Rutgers and you played Miami, Ohio, but still looks very, very disciplined, you know, and they were predicted to finish near the top of the Big Ten West anyway, but they're going to have to battle through a tough schedule. And what you always see from Iowa is they never give in. I mean, we had Penn State at Iowa 2 years ago, and remember, it took like a Saquon Barkley Herculean effort to get that win there. And so you're not going to be surprised when at Michigan, if they went in there and got the win, you know what I mean? Like there are no teams in the Big Ten that when you put them up against Iowa, you think, oh, guaranteed victory over the Hawkeyes, because I've had them in the Rose Bowl before. I've seen them win, you know, the Big Ten West. I've seen it happen many a times when they were counted out. And so that's what you expect to see from Kirk Ferentz, and just like a disciplined, durable team that obviously works well together, and they have always had one goal in mind.
Maria, we appreciate the time today. I know that you are an SEC woman to the core, but I want to know how Big Ten country and Big 12 country stacks up tailgating. So we'll be looking forward to watching the broadcast with you tomorrow.
Love it, guys. Thank you so much for having me on, and thanks everyone in Iowa for making me such a warm welcome for College Game Day.
ESPN's Maria Taylor with us on the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, and a pleasure to have her with us. There's been so much talk and discussion of game day. They've set up. They are ready to roll. You heard her there, Seneca Wallace, making an appearance. I don't think it sounds like he will be the guest picker, but
no,
they oftentimes
like
have alumni
right.
who are, and they're I imagine there will be a lot of familiar faces in and around Jack Trice Stadium tomorrow. There usually is when Iowa and Iowa State gets to, get together. It's a big draw for former players of both teams, but especially whichever school is hosting. Still no word on who the guest picker will be, at least to my knowledge. But Matt Campbell featuring prominently on the broadcast tomorrow, and sounds like either a feature or a conversation with DeShante Jones, who we've talked for a couple days now about how his performance against UNI was so impressive and how he could be a big factor in Iowa State's game plan against the Hawkeyes tomorrow.
Yeah, he was outstanding against UNI, but I think for Iowa State, they want to get him involved. They want to get some other guys involved too. And how much are they looking forward to this game? How much are they going to put into this game? It sounds like a lot. It sounds like Matt Campbell is going to put his best foot forward and try to put together a game plan to make this a fun and exciting game. So I think there's a lot of unknowns on both sides, and I'm looking forward to the game day broadcast. I saw Maria Taylor hanging out at Jack Trice Stadium earlier today. She was chatting, as you mentioned, with DeShante Jones, and this is just going to be such a fun and obviously unique experience because College Game Day has never been to Ames before until tomorrow.
319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Appreciate the feedback so far on today's program. A lot more Cy-Hawk talk to come. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be with us inside the third and final hour, the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. No guest with us tonight. It's just going to be the three of us getting inside this game. I don't know what else can be said about Iowa and Iowa State from an X's and O's standpoint or from a rivalry standpoint, but the three of us will figure out how to cover that ground in the final 50 minutes or so of tonight's program. A lot more to come here in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Jack Dom is going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour, our weekly segment with Jack touching all the bases. We'll try to make sense of what's going on in the National League Central, the three-way race between the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers, not only for the Central crown, but for the wild card as well, as no ground was gained yesterday. Lots more to come. As we mentioned, Friday's program brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, continues on KGYM after this.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I like their reputation for taking care of customers before and after the sale.
Toyota of Iowa City always gives me a great deal.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool, complain about the construction, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall, downtown Iowa City.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow.
I think you should leave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
522, welcome back in. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5 and 106.3 on the FM side of things, and online at kgymradio.com. If you visit the website today, you can vote in the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins tomorrow in Ames, Iowa or Iowa State? It's as simple as that. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids. We appreciate their continued sponsorship. Dave was the first selection off the board today in the pick six presented by Emil's Hideaway. Best of luck to our six contestants. Somebody's going to be taking home a $30 gift card to Emil's. Kyle's going to give us a big board update coming up in the next 10 minutes or so. And Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom will be with us. There is baseball being played in Iowa City tonight. The Hawkeyes opening the fall portion of their schedule. They've got the Ontario Blue Jays at Duane Banks Field this evening. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Feel free to use it to reach out to us here. Cubs and Pirates dragging on. Alex just said to me, it's only the fifth inning. Yes, only the fifth inning. It's 10-6, I believe. Pirates mounting a little bit of a comeback on John Lester and the Cubs at Wrigley. We'll get into that more with Jack coming up at the bottom of the hour when he joins us. But it looks like Kyle is ready with a big board update. Three times a day on the program, we let you know what's going on across the state. It's a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station, or their interiors showroom, Answers by Alexander. That's located on South Gilbert Street, also in Iowa City.
We're counting down the hours now before College Game Day begins its coverage from Ames tomorrow morning, and some around the state are anxiously waiting to find out who's going to serve as the guest picker. Former Iowa State quarterback Seneca Wallace can be crossed off that list as he's going to be on set for an interview, but he's not going to be the picker. If we find out who that's going to be in the next 90 minutes, we will drop everything, I think Todd said, and let you know. Former Hawkeye Anthony Nelson was on primetime last night in the Buccaneers' victory over the Panthers on Thursday Night Football, and he didn't necessarily stuff the stat sheet, but he was all over the place and involved in a handful of plays. He finished with one tackle and just one pass breakup on an attempted screen to Christian McCaffrey, but the Bucs' fourth-round draft pick looked good applying pressure throughout the night. Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of high school football games on the North and Main gyms. We'll have Kennedy hosting West Des Moines Valley in one of the bigger non-district games of the young season, and on the South gym, we'll have Liberty hosting Washington, Iowa. It's set to be a huge weekend of football here in the state of Iowa, and here in our neck of the woods, we can be your home for everything you'll need. Beginning at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning on the FMs, we'll carry the Big 12 show, and then at 1 on those FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa-Iowa State, and we're also going to pick up John Walters' pregame coverage before kickoff on the main gym. As a nightcap, we'll carry Clemson at Syracuse, and then on Sunday, we'll have the Vikings-Packers, Colts-Titans, and Saints-Rams.
All right, thank you very much, Kyle. As we get ready for Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com to join us coming up in the next 30 minutes or so. Tonight's big hour coming your way at 6 o'clock, brought to you by Steve Anderson of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Just Rob, Alex, and me, along with your texts and phone calls tonight, 319-366-1600. We asked you earlier today, we may as well revisit it right now. We want to know how you guys, the listeners, think that tomorrow's game will play out in Ames. Give us a call, 319-366-1600. 1600, or hit us up on the Hertin and Stocker text line. Again, same number, 319-366-1600. After we chat with Jack tonight, somebody is going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. So you've got that to look forward to as well coming up in the next 25 minutes. You and I have made our selections on the pick six. I went with Iowa State. I've said all along, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, and I think Iowa State finds a way to pull this one out, and Matt Campbell is finally able to get the Iowa monkey off his back. I did swing in the other direction on the over-under. I've said all week it's a low-scoring game in my mind. I think 17-16 was my prediction. For the pick six, though, I took the over. I don't know. It was all that talk about two great defenses. It just seems too easy. And when it seems too easy, like betting on the Cubs to win by 6.5 runs today when they were up by 5, and now all of a sudden it's 10-7. If it seems too easy, don't do it. So I took the over.
I hated my pick as soon as I made it as far as the over-under. I took the under. Whenever there's a defensive slugfest in this game, it seems like the next year there's an offensive explosion and vice versa. I don't necessarily think that we're looking at a 48-45 game, but I would not be surprised if it's in the mid-20s to low-30s for both teams. That's why it's just, it feels like we're throwing darts at the wall and just hoping that one of them hits a balloon right now, because as much as we think that we know about these two teams, so much is going to be revealed and so many important things are going to be revealed in this game. And we've broken down pretty much all of them, and we're going to continue to do that throughout the next 90 minutes of this show. But I feel like in the past I've had a pretty decent grasp on some of these matchups. The one in would have been 2016, Matt Campbell's first year. I think we had a pretty good grasp on that one. Iowa was clearly better than Iowa State, and then Iowa State started to chip away a little bit, yet they still haven't been able to get over the hump and finish off one of these games. They're too good of a program not to do it, and not to do it here in the next couple of years. I'm not saying it's going to be this year, but you would think Matt Campbell has to get that last check mark eventually.
4387 on the text line says, Iowa withstands an early emotional score from ISU and hangs on in the fourth quarter. So a prediction for a narrow Iowa victory. We want to hear from you, 319-366-1600. How do things play out tomorrow in Ames? Look, it's so difficult, and I feel like we're just regurgitating everything that we've said throughout the week, but with Iowa State not having played last week, I can't sit here and definitively say one way or the other whether they're going to be better than they looked against you and I 2 weeks ago. I think the assumption is yes. They've had plenty of time to work in practice on getting better, fixing some of the issues that plagued them against the Panthers, but we didn't get to see them put that to use in a game last week. So it's tough to change things on the fly in practice without going up against somebody. I think they're going to look better than they did against you and I tomorrow when we see them take the field at 3:00. A reminder, you can join Alex at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside Casino, the Draft Day Lounge. He will be broadcasting from 12 until 3, basically right up until kickoff. And if you want, he's got an inside tip for you on the Memphis-South Alabama game. Maybe you even make some money with Alex while you're hanging out at the Elite Sportsbook. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom will be with us. His weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, is next.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers.
At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Join me, the Gym's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live tomorrow before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Did you know that when you buy 5 cups of freshly brewed McCafe premium roast coffee with the McDonald's app, you get the next one free? Think of it as your reward for all the times you held the door open for a stranger, let someone merge when you were running late, or liked one of your aunt's posts on social media, even though you had no idea what she was talking about. So, enjoy your free 6 cup of McCafe coffee with McCafe Rewards and keep the good going. McCafe, good is brewing. Valid at participating McDonald's through December 29th. McDonald's app download and registration required.
And at 5:32, we welcome you back in the 5 o'clock hour known as Drive Time. It's driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. They've got some special back-to-school savings on their website right now. You can use them at one of their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Linder Tire and lindertire.com, bringing you the 5 o'clock hour on Fridays. We continue things rolling with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, kind enough to join us at the end of each week throughout the baseball season. And Jack, let's start with the National League Central. The Cubs have a little bit of a dilemma this week. Do they root for the Cardinals or the Brewers as those two teams get together for a series?
You know what they need to do? They need to worry about themselves, to be honest with you. You know, they're at that point right now where they can't control what's going on with the Cardinals or the Brewers, and the bottom line is if they win games, they'll be in the playoffs. And, you know, just worry about winning games. Don't worry about winning the division. If you win, you know, good things will happen to you. And, you know, it's when you start watching the scoreboard is when you get in trouble, or when you start rooting for teams and all of a sudden they win. And then it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. So you're better off just playing it game by game. You know, you always hear those guys about playing it one pitch at a time, or just worrying about what you can control. And I couldn't agree with that more. It's boring for people, but it's the truth.
Does this team have another run left in them, or are they kind of with a walking wounded and running out of gas at this point?
Well, you know what? They got to hope they have a run. You know, basically the Cardinals are in first place because they've had the longest run out of any of the teams between the Cubs, the Cards, and the Brewers. So, you know what? The Brewers put on their run, and now, actually, I believe they won about 7 in a row, so they're on another run. But you know, the Cubs have got to hope that that they can do that. And it's tough with your bullpen when you've got leads and then all of a sudden you give it up, and it gets a little frustrating for everybody. And it just seems like the Cubs are pressing a little bit right now. And really it's with Kimbrel being out, you know, it's a big concern because all of a sudden who's going to get that last out of that game? How is Madden going to use the bullpen? What roles are people going to be in? And, you know, we talked last week about, you know, what's a big difference for the Cardinals has been everybody's falling into line and what roles are going to be in as far as offensively with Fowler and Wong, which has made it better for everybody behind them. So, you know, it's a little scary right now with the injuries. In fact, the biggest injury still is Kimbrel being out because that's been the bugaboo all year long.
I don't think there's a player that's more frustrating to Cubs fans than the guy who's pitching for them right now at Wrigley Field. What's up with John Lester? Is he at the end of the rope?
You know what? It might be time to reinvent himself a little bit. You know, he's just not quite as sharp as he was. You know, I think he's got the highest ERA out of all their starters. You know, he was a shutdown guy, and he's still a competitor. So you see it all the time. You saw it a couple of years ago. You know, or you see it from guys that all of a sudden they start to struggle, so they got to reinvent themselves with a split finger or with a changeup or a different breaking ball. And you know, it might be this offseason he's going to have to come up with another pitch that, you know, and maybe start throwing that changeup more often compared to being a fastball, cutter, slider guy. By using the changeup, it's going to you know, make that fastball look a little faster and help that cutter get in on some people. So he might need to – he's going to be fine at some point. He's probably going to have to change a couple things in what he's doing. You know, there's been a lot of pitchers out there who people think they're at the end of the line, and all of a sudden next thing, look at Verlander. Everybody thought he was done. He changed his pitch sequencing a little bit, and now all of a sudden he's out there just dominating baseball like he did 6 or 7 years ago.
Jack, we've talked in the past about the lack of pennant races and how top-heavy Major League Baseball is. The one pennant race going on right now is in the NL Central, and how devastating is it for baseball just in general to have one of its superstars like Christian Yelich go out in the way that he did in the middle of a race like this?
You know, that is tough. You know, he was probably had the lead in the MVP race. And, you know, one thing I will say is I credit the Brewers. They've kind of rallied around the fact that they've lost Yelich. They're playing really good baseball. But that is devastating. You get a guy that, you know, really does everything right on the field, off the field, having a special year. And that's a tough break for Major League Baseball. It's a tough break for the Brewers. But again, how they've responded to it has been the most impressive thing. They haven't missed a beat. Moustakas has picked things up. And kind of the face of the organization. I kind of found it interesting how somebody, I think it was somebody on MLB Tonight, compared Moustakas to being a guy like Rizzo, that, you know, maybe not the best player on the team, but the guy that's just got to be most consistent and step it up this time when Yelich is out for the year.
Looks like the Yankees are getting close to getting healthy again. Luis Severino is going to come off the injured list. Is it time to start taking them a little more seriously?
Well, you know, they just keep winning with all the injuries they've had. And I just happened to see that that Hap is getting looked at now, and somebody else just went back, Sanchez, with a tweak of his groin. So it looked like they were getting healthy, and then all of a sudden they got a couple more little tweaks. So it's amazing what they've been able to do with all the injuries. I would not be surprised. I haven't looked up the stat, but there's been a lot of injuries in Major League Baseball, but I don't know if any team has had more guys or more of their guys on the DL than what the Yankees have. It just seems like all year long. But Severino coming back, you know, all the offense that they have, they're a very dangerous team. And when you start to feel good, anything can happen for them.
When you look at the Minnesota Twins leading the AL Central, the news that Byron Buxton is going to miss the rest of the season, he was having a breakout year. We know how much talent he has, especially in the field, and he was starting to hit. How kind of frustrating is it, do you think, for both sides right now, where the injuries just keep piling up for their young star?
Well, you know what, that's very, very frustrating, and especially when he was making progress from an offensive standpoint. We all know what he does defensively. Every time he's out there, it's been fantastic what he's been able to do defensively. He's a walking highlight show, but the problem is he plays the way he plays, almost creates injury for himself. I think, Todd, one of the guys that we remember is Ken Griffey Jr. when he first came up. How many times was he running into the wall and getting hurt? And he's such a good offensive player. Every once in a while, you know, organizations have to talk to guys, say, hey, you need to be a little bit smarter and diving all over the place. And you still play hard, but you need to be smart when you put your body in jeopardy. And, you know, Buxton obviously is fragile. He's had that injury bug, and, you know, it's a big blow because, you know, he makes every player, every defensive outfielder better because he covers so much room in the outfield, and he can change a game defensively. So that's a big blow to him and to the Twins. But you know what? Anytime that it seems like something's going wrong for the Twins, they always find a way to step it up. You know, you remember a couple weeks ago, everyone was talking about how Cleveland was right on their back and can they hold them off? This year they're just finding a way to win games, and it's been very, very impressive.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom with us. He joins us every Friday until baseball season is finished up with. I think the best thing I saw somebody put with Buxton is if you tried to get him to dial it back, then you wouldn't have Byron Buxton. So they've got to walk a fine line between getting him to take better care of himself, but at the same time, you don't want him to be any less dynamic than he actually is.
That's exactly, and that's the hardest thing as a coach when you're talking to people, you know, because one of the biggest frustrations is when kids don't play hard. And Byron Buxton, he gets on the field, and he has fun, and he's laying it out there all the time. And, you know, there are certain ways that you can protect yourself. It's just like kind of a, you know, a quarterback that runs a lot, learning how to slide. You know, when I was at Iowa, I got a call from the football coaches that one of their quarterbacks didn't know how to slide, and I literally had to help come out and help the quarterback learn how to slide to protect himself. And it's the same way in the outfield. There's times to run into the wall. There's times not to, you know, if you're protected and not. But, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. really never changed. The only thing that changed him is as he got older, he couldn't quite get to the wall. But I agree a lot. It's tough to take that enthusiasm and that youth out of a guy like Buxton because he will be a different player.
When you look at the National League, has anything changed as far as your opinion of not just the favorite? I think we can all agree that the Dodgers are the favorite to get back to the World Series. But as far as contenders, can the Braves make it interesting? Can the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Nationals, can any of those teams make it interesting on the Dodgers?
You know, once you get in there, anything can happen once you make the playoffs. And we've seen that enough times. You know, the other thing is don't forget the Dodgers have been there 2 years in a row. That could be a big positive because of the experience that they've had in the World Series. But it can also be a negative because all of a sudden there's so much pressure on you to not only get there, but win. And, you know, you look at some of these teams with some of the pitching, if the pitching lines up right, if the Mets are still scary, if the Mets find a way, and then you look at Scherzer coming off the DL, if the Nationals get in there with their three runners or three pitchers, they could be dangerous. So it really just matters what team you face, and if their pitchers are hot, pitching can beat great hitting. So there's some of these rotations in the National League that can be dominant, and the pitching can shut you down.
Speaking of the Dodgers and Mets, by the way, Noah Syndergaard and Clayton Kershaw, the pitching matchup tonight at Citi Field. That one may be worth watching. I see the over-under is at 7.5 right now at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. Fall ball underway in Iowa City today. Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes hosting the Ontario Blue Jays. What are coaches looking to get from their teams at this time of year, Jack?
Well, one thing is it's healthy. You know, you don't want to get anybody injured out there as far as the returners. You really got to monitor what the kids did over the summer, how many pitches the pitchers threw if they were out there. But then you also want to create some competition. Watch that there's competition for spots. And, you know, it's a real fun time of the year. We're right in the middle of an inter-squad game right now. And, you know, you want to teach the young guys how to play. You want to teach the team how to practice and put some pressure on the team during practices to see how they're going to respond. So when you're playing the Ontario Blue Jays, you know, you want to put up it's a bunch of the top players in the state of Iowa, or excuse me, in Canada. So you want to impress them. It's also a recruiting tool for you to be able to have those people on campus. So you want to stay healthy, but you want to see the young guys and really have the older guys start taking leadership in the program and showing those younger guys how to go about their business, not only on the field, but even off the field when you got, you know, you got 100,000 people out in front of Kinnick Stadium, making sure kids are making good decisions and staying out of trouble.
Jack, we appreciate it as always. We'll let you get back to the game, and we will touch base with you next week. Maybe we'll have a little bit more clarity on that National League Central picture. But I'm going to put you on the spot. You said the Cubs have to worry about themselves. Take them out of the equation. The Cardinals are playing the Brewers. Who do you root for if you're a Cubs fan this weekend? I said the Cardinals because they still play the Cardinals head-to-head, but if the Cardinals win the division, no big deal. You want the Brewers out of the picture for the wild card.
I agree. So, you know what, when you got the Cardinals seven times and you've been able to beat them in the past and they've struggled the last 2 years, the last month of the year, you know, I'd probably rather see, I don't want the Cardinals to get too far away from me. I hate to say it, I'd almost want to split. And again, that's where I go back to, I want the Cubs to go out and win 3 out of 4. They'll have a lead on the Brewers then, and then also they'll have they'll be a game closer to the Cardinals. So really, I'm just hoping for a split in that series and having the Cubs win 3 out of 4 or all 4 and put themselves in a better spot.
We will see what happens, and we'll be chatting about it with you next week. Thanks, Jack.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
And we didn't even put Jack on the spot with an Iowa-Iowa State prediction.
I was going to say, that was going to be my next question, but...
I think he'll lean Iowa, would be my guess. 5:47, the fun continuing at Wrigley Field. Yes, Alex, it's still only the fifth inning. 12-7.
Wait, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. It's the bottom of the fifth. Cubs leading 12-7, runners on second and third as they're trying to... They had a big lead on the Pirates, and then it shrunk... And then they picked up a couple insurance runs here, and this game is still only halfway over. Not exactly a shining example of Major League Baseball's initiative to pick up the pace of play. We'll take a quick timeout, but before we do, we promised you after we chatted with Jack, we were going to hook you up with a Mulligan's gift card. What better time than right now? 319-366-1600, caller number 6. Is going to be able to use that $30, perhaps to join us on Thursday for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. 366-1600, caller number 6, takes home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's right now. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Get a floor that's 100% waterproof for life without sacrificing the style you want. The Home Depot has Pergo Outlast Plus laminate starting at just $279 a square foot. With 22 designer colors, Pergo Outlast Plus can fit any style in any room beautifully. And you can rest easy because it's waterproof. Get Pergo Outlast Plus starting at just $279 a square foot at the number one Pergo waterproof laminate flooring retailer, The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see warranty for details.
5:49, welcome back in. It is Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM KGYM. Congratulations to Brian in Ely, our winner tonight of a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. Stick around, 6 o'clock hour is right around the corner. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be joining us to talk all things Cy-Hawk. It's drive time right now, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Check them out for special online-only savings at lindertire.com. Last night's Thursday night football game, it was mentioned ever so briefly during Love It or Leave It. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road, get a victory over the Carolina Panthers. A couple things to take away from last night's game. One, Cam Newton clearly is no longer Cam Newton. And two, officiating has not gotten any better in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, it may have been highlighted last night how the officiating continues to be an issue.
I've never seen that before, where a ball is spotted and then moved forward, and then a team gets a first down because of it, and then Bruce Arians of the Buccaneers head coach does not challenge. What do you challenge there?
It was clear as day. The Panthers appeared to be short of a first down. The referee, one of the officials, set the ball down and then picked the ball up and moved it forward.
Like a good foot.
Yeah. and everybody was fine with it. And then you get Tampa Bay calling back-to-back timeouts, which is not allowed. And you've got Mike Pereira, the head of explaining all of these rules, on the TV screen saying, well, it's if they catch it, it's a penalty. And if they don't...
That's hilarious. So if you call back-to-back timeouts, they're supposed to ignore you.
Yes.
But if they slip up and don't ignore you, you also get a penalty.
Yes. If they make the mistake of granting the timeout, you get penalized.
Now, that's a great rule.
And we saw it come into play last night, and I'm sorry. If you didn't see the game, you have no idea what we're talking about right now. But Carolina gets down to, I think it was the 3 or 4 yard line on the final drive of the game. They go for it, and they run a gadget play with Cam Newton in the shotgun formation. Newton sort of drifts off to the right side. Christian McCaffrey takes the direct snap, fakes a handoff, tries an end around to the left, and gets knocked out of bounds just shy of picking up a first down, which they did have room to get a first down. They didn't need the touchdown there. What type of play call was that?
I don't know. You have a 270-pound quarterback, and you need an inch. You need 1 inch, and you run that play. No, not just the play call, but the fact that he doesn't even touch the ball on the play.
Old school Cam Newton would have taken that snap and just jumped over Superman.
Yeah, go under center and surge forward.
He's not 100%. Is this a concern for Carolina moving forward?
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
I don't know if it's health. I don't know if it's the fact that they're trying to get him to do things that he's not comfortable doing and taking the running game a little bit away from him and not letting him run the offense that he's capable, or not capable, but better suited running. I think it's a combination of both, and it's not working. They looked horrible last night, and that offense should not look horrible.
Meanwhile, I think there were a lot of people overreacting to Tampa Bay from week one. Bruce Arians, I'm not saying that they're a Super Bowl contender, don't get me wrong, but they moved the ball last night. They didn't look bad to me.
Yeah, offensively, I'm not sold. I'm not going to sit here and think that Jameis Winston is cured of all throwing the ball to the other team. He didn't throw an interception last night. 289 yards of offense. They're going to need a little bit more than that. I just thought it was a poorly played vintage Thursday night football
game. We got to get rid of these things.
Yeah, they got to go.
The next round of collective bargaining, I think if you're talking about expanding the regular season, if I'm the players, I'm negotiating for two things. I'm angling for better long-term health care, and I'm saying we'll play more games, but we're playing them on full rest. We're not playing Thursday night games anymore. Those would be the concessions. I'll give you two additional regular season games if you give us better health care, basically for the rest of our lives. The game is going to take care of us. And oh, by the way, we're not playing these short turnaround weeks. Because, quite frankly, it lessens the product.
And it's awful.
Yeah. And I think it was Scott Chandler who was on the program with us several years ago, longtime tight end in the NFL, former Hawkeye, who said the players universally hate the idea of Thursday games. Get them out of get rid of them. I don't care if it buries one more game gets buried on Sunday. That's the point, right? You bury the bad games. Nobody pays any attention to them. This is the NFL intentionally highlighting some bad product. You may get Bears-Packers to open the season on a Thursday night, but you oftentimes get Dolphins. Give me another bad team. I wanted to say the Jets, and I don't want to pile on because
Dolphins-Bucks.
Rob Howe is right outside the door, and yeah, it's been a bad week to be a Jets fan. Dolphins-Bills. There you go. Although I'm intrigued by this Singletary cat. for purposes of fantasy football. Devin.
Kid can play.
Devin
yeah.
Singletary. He can
from,
scoot.
From?
Don't tell me he's a Memphis guy.
No, FAU. Okay. He's, okay. A Lane, he's a Lane train.
Oh, he's a Lane Kiffin guy. Well, good for him. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the goings-on at Wrigley Field and let you know what's coming up inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on KGYM Fridays, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word BEST to 606060. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text BEST to 606060. Text BEST to 606060.
Hey, Alex, guess what?
What?
It's still the bottom of the fifth inning at Wrigley Field. Oh,
this game's never going to end.
It's now 16-7, and it's the bottom of the fifth inning. The first pitch was thrown.
What's the over-under right now in-game? That's my question.
Well, a while ago, it was 20 runs, and they surpassed that a long time ago. They are coming up on the three-hour mark of the anniversary of the first pitch. This was a 3 o'clock start at Wrigley Field. They're in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cubs, by the way, still going at it. They've batted around with Anthony Rizzo at the plate. 16-7, so a win here. They would pick up a half game on the Cardinals and the Brewers in the race for the NL Central and the NL Wild Card, respectively. 319-366-1600. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com has joined us. He'll be with us for the entire 6 o'clock hour. We'll take your thoughts on the Cy-Hawk game tomorrow in Ames at 319-366-1600. Plenty more to come on the program, and we want you to be with us on Monday when local programming resumes. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will be the first up to look back on whatever happens in Ames tomorrow. They are brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery. At Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor for the gym class right here on KGYM. Again, plenty more to come. A big thank you to Linder Tire for its sponsorship of the 5 o'clock hour. Drive time has come to an end, and that means it's time to turn our attention to the Hawkeyes and Big Ten football. Again, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com flying solo with us tonight, but any week to do it, may as well be Iowa, Iowa State. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that the NFL is not placing Patriots wideout Antonio Brown on the exempt list, which makes Brown eligible to play against the Dolphins on Sunday in Miami. New England head coach Bill Belichick wouldn't say if Brown would play or not on Sunday. He was also asked how Brown has fit into this point.
What have you observed from him in terms of how he's acclimated himself beyond the field and meetings in the locker room?
Antonio's worked hard. I think all the players that we brought in here in the last 2 weeks, whatever it is, 2.5 weeks, all put in a hard effort to try to pick things up quickly. Yeah, he certainly falls right in there.
Meanwhile, the ESPN NFL analyst and former Patriot Damian Woody doesn't think Antonio Brown will have a long stay with the Patriots.
I don't think he lasts the full season. I feel like that structure, that environment in New England, it's not made for everybody.
The NFL has opened an investigation into allegations of sexual assault by Antonio Brown's former trainer. There is no criminal investigation right now. Cowboys have had discussions with the Dolphins regarding defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick. Cowboys executive Stephen Jones telling this to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Fitzpatrick has requested to be traded by Miami. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that running back Melvin Gordon doesn't believe the Chargers will trade him and will continue his holdout, but sources say that Gordon will eventually report to the team this season. Panthers receiver Torrey Smith announces his retirement after 8 seasons. College football, Wake Forest beats North Carolina 20-0. It's in the second quarter on ESPN.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets go head-to-head at Citi Field tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at Geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Did you know that when you buy 5 cups of freshly brewed McCafe premium roast coffee with the McDonald's app, you get the next one free? Think of it as your reward for all the times you held the door open for a stranger, let someone merge when you were running late, or liked one of your aunt's posts on social media, even though you had no idea what she was talking about. So, enjoy your free 6 cup of McCafe coffee with McCafe rewards and keep the good going. McCafe, good is brewing. Valid at participating McDonald's through December 29th. McDonald's app download and registration required.
Welcome back in. It is 6:03 on a Friday night, the eve of destruction in Ames, one way or the other. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 and 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Online at KGYMradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins tomorrow, Iowa or Iowa State? That question and more coming up inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us on a Friday. We should mention, as we always do, Fridays presented the entire 3 hours by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in Iowa City and Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Before we get to Rob, we have breaking news to report. The fifth inning has come to an end at Wrigley Field. 17-7, the Cubs leading the Pirates. And if you think the final score is going to be 17-7, I'll take action on that right
now.
What
can I bet on the over the rest of the way?
We tried to get Fred Barr, right? That was the – you are angling for Fred Barr for Iowa-Iowa State, which is inspired – I said if you could bring one player back to breathe some life into this rivalry, at least off the field this week, Fred would have been my choice. He didn't get back to you.
No, I pushed all the chips in the middle. I could have gone some different ways.
Go
here
big
for
or
this
go home.
Game. Exactly. I did a Where Are They Now on Fred last year, and I was hoping, all right, that would... Because I think the last few years I've tried to get him on this show before the Iowa State game and unsuccessfully. So
now
that's going to be my goal again next year.
Is he? He's in the business world or something, right? In Des Moines,
he is a waiter at the Cheesecake Factory in Des Moines.
Okay, see, he's got to deal with Iowa State fans now, so he's.
You don't
he's
think he cares about that?
He's
you
hustling.
Remember, Fred? He could care less about that.
I do. Look.
Couldn't care less.
The reason that we had this discussion earlier this week, Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com with us, and you tell me, both of these coaching staffs have basically sucked all of the life out of this rivalry. There's no color on either side of the line here from Ames or Iowa City. You're not getting anything from any of the players, and you're not getting anything from any of the coaches. You wouldn't know. If you were from the outside looking in, you wouldn't even know this was a rivalry.
No, and you would look, if you listened to either coach, you would wonder how the other team's going to be able to even stay in the game. Because they're so complimentary of each other, it's almost
sickening,
gross.
Isn't it? Matt Campbell, AJ Epenesa, he's a once in a generational player. Talking about Nate Stanley, lauding Nate Stanley and how great he is, and then Ferentz is talking about Ray Lima and Brock Purdy. I'm sorry, give me the old days where you've got Fred Barr saying that he hates Iowa State. You got Julian Vandervelde saying that he despises the entity that is Iowa State. You had Alan Lazard was always good for some barbs at Iowa. This just, I don't know. With all the hype coming into this game, the most highly anticipated Iowa-Iowa State game in recent memory, at least since the series resumed in 1977, over 40 years ago, if this is the most hyped game and you took game day out of the equation, ESPN out of the equation, what would we even have had to discuss this week?
I think game day and ESPN has to have loved this because it put more focus on who's going to be the celebrity pick.
They still don't have
it's
anybody.
It's important, guys.
Jeez. That's going to be breaking.
Maybe
that's
Fred's the picker. Maybe that's why he maintained radio silence. They don't have anybody, according to them.
Poor Seneca Wallace.
I see. I said that in the 4 o'clock hour. I was like, oh, man, he got slapped by ESPN. He's going to be there. But they want a celebrity to make the pick.
So do they go off the board here with this?
I think they're going to either get really creative or they pick up the phone, they call somebody in Hollywood and they say, hey, are you willing to come throw an Iowa State letter jacket on and play to the crowd? There's got to be some celebrities who sell their soul for little bit of screen time on ESPN. Come on.
Yeah.
What do I have to do? Tell Iowa State that they're going to win the ball game. You send Herb Street's private jet, pick me up, drop me off, and pay me however much the going rate is. Why not?
So you're thinking like a Ric Flair type of situation here, where it's nobody with any ties to Iowa that they just bring in, and they're like, all right, they've got this guy.
I think the two most obvious, if you're talking celebrities, and it's been this. Topic has been beaten to death, but Ashton Kutcher has ties to Iowa, so I don't think that would play well with the natives in Ames. Tom Arnold is an Iowa guy.
Yeah.
Not going to play well with the natives in Ames. My money's been on Seth Rollins, who's a native of Iowa, WWE superstar.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you for...
Explaining who he is. I needed to tell Scott and Mark, too. He's a global superstar.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
From
You're
Buffalo, Iowa. I'm being completely serious okay. here. Your son is... Well, no.
Yeah, he would know who
he is. He would know who Seth Rollins is. That Slipknot. Slipknot is on a two-week hiatus from its tour.
Name a song.
Couldn't.
But they're either. The... Alex, you got a Slipknot song?
No.
All right.
No. But they're Iowa. They'd be known nationally. I don't know. Maybe they go. I've seen people suggesting Kevin Costner. You do the Field of Dreams tie-in,
and the Dan Gable because he's got connections to both. But
he's more Iowa. He'd have to make a pick, and I think he would pick Iowa at this point. As Kale Sanderson, he's at Penn State, and I don't think he wants anything to do with Iowa State at this point. So I think kind of thinking they're going to go off the radar.
See, there is precedent for bringing somebody in with absolutely no connections. Maury Povich was the guest picker at UCF last year. Maury Povich has no connection to UCF.
They were trying to get Connie Chung, and he picked up the phone, and he stole her. Do our listeners even know who Maury Povich and Connie Chung are? Maury's still got the TV show.
Yeah,
Maury still
got, and my son and other kids that are in high school will watch that stuff on YouTube too. Like when they get in the fights,
the DNA.
Like,
yeah. Boy, we're getting off track here.
Well, I figure you guys have covered every angle of this.
Jason Momoa. He played Aquaman.
See,
he's got ties
from.
He's got ties to Iowa.
I know him from The
clearly,
yes. what's the show that just finished up this year? That it'll come to me. Kyle's a fan of it too. I can't think of
it. Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, he had a small role on Game of Thrones. It could very well be him, but it's I don't know. Maybe
what's his tie to Iowa State?
I don't think he has one, which would make him a good.
Okay.
But he's from the state of Iowa.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's from Des Moines. Priyanka Chopra, or whatever her name is, she went to Cedar Rapids Kennedy.
I threw out Sean Johnson East. That would at least have some kind of star power and name recognition.
You guys have no idea how hard I want to bang my head against the Formica tabletop here.
How about Katie Holmes? She was at the Iowa basketball game.
What about Fred Hoiberg?
Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg was pitching his burgers at Hy-Vee a couple years ago, and energy.
Here, you want me to give you the last 10 and tell you what we're working with?
Well, we know
here?
The last two. We said Matthew McConaughey. And I'm
Mike
sorry,
Irving.
You can't top
Charles
that.
Barkley, Quavo, Bryce Harper, Maury Povich, Chris O'Donnell, Alex Bregman, and Evander Holyfield. And before that, the Chainsmokers.
Mm-hmm. See, they don't have Iowa State needs a Larry the Cable Guy.
Nobody needs a Larry the Cable Guy. No offense. Dan Whitney is his real name. And I want to bash my head against the countertop because I know that off the top of my head. Iowa's a 2.5. We've got people upset on the text line. We're not talking about the actual game. I'm sorry. There's nothing to talk about. At least it seems that way going into this. Rob, Iowa is a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow. Do they deserve to be a road favorite over Iowa State at this point?
Yes, because I think it's based off of Iowa's first two games and Iowa State's one game. And if you look at what has happened in those three contests, I would make Iowa the favorite.
I would too.
Now, if you dig deeper, Alex, you're looking at Iowa beat two really crappy teams.
They did. Iowa beat two bad teams, and that's what we have to go off of from them. And we have even less to go off of for Iowa State.
That's the uniqueness of this game, though, guys, is a lot of these rivalries are played at the end of the season where you have a grasp on what these teams are about. There are more questions here than answers.
Rob, I'll ask you this question because maybe you'll have a little bit more insight, but we brought up...
I doubt it.
We brought up the fact that this inside the both facilities, you wouldn't even know that this is a rivalry game. Do you have any sense about how each side treats this and in 2019, how they treat this game?
I think we had a really good grasp of how Dan McCartney treated this,
yes.
And Todd can speak to that.
My sports view today, that if ESPN really wants to highlight this rivalry, they need to do a package on Dan McCartney.
Definitely.
Because he's the guy who saved this rivalry.
And he played at Iowa. He's from Iowa City.
Right. Iowa had won 15 in a row. Who knows if Iowa continues that string of victories. Maybe at some point Iowa says, you know what, this game's not doing anything for us anymore. We're going to go play somebody else. Dan McCartney, he went all in on it and sort of saved this series and turned it into an actual rivalry. So I'm hoping he gets a little bit of a moment in the sun tomorrow on the broadcast. I don't think it's any secret Matt Campbell wants to win this game. It's one of the few things he hasn't accomplished yet at Iowa State. And you and I have been around long enough to remember the original knock on Kirk Ferentz is he doesn't put enough emphasis on this game. It's just another game. It should be. It's a non-conference game, but it rubbed fans the wrong way when Iowa was getting its tail handed to them by Dan McCartney in the early Ferentz era, which is 2 decades ago now.
And you guys will agree with this. There's more... Matt Campbell is a lot more like Kirk Ferentz than either Paul Rhodes or Dan McCartney. I think he treats this game exactly the way Kirk treats this game, but he's in danger of getting himself into that same narrative.
Exactly.
Of not putting enough emphasis on this game if you're an Iowa State fan. But both of these programs would rather win in the conference than win this game. Of course they want to win this game, but the conference competition is more important, and it should be.
I just, from an Iowa State standpoint, I agree with you 100%. Matt Campbell has done everything and checked every box except for winning this game. And you know what? I think that most Iowa State fans, clearly the way he's built this program, it's to succeed in the Big 12. Just look at the way that they play. It's how they want to, how they can see succeed in the Big 12. But the last 2 years, the quarterback that they played against Iowa was not the quarterback that they finished the season with. Some of the personnel that they had playing in that game was not some of the personnel they finished the season with when they got to the Big 12. I'm just wondering, are we going to get to a point where Matt Campbell sort of goes full steam ahead, pulls out all the stops to win this game? And I'm not saying that he hasn't, but in order for this rivalry to take off, when is the best time to play this? Maybe the third game of the non-conference, maybe the third week of the season where each team knows a little bit more about them, about themselves. That's all I'm wanting to see tomorrow is two teams pulling out every tool at their disposal to go out and win a game and to win a rivalry game.
And let's not confuse that these teams, you know, and we've talked about this. There's a lot of emphasis on this. These players, there's not a player on the Iowa State team right now that's beaten Iowa.
Right.
Likewise, there's not a player on Iowa's team that's lost to Iowa State. So you can't tell me that, you know, somebody on the Iowa team is going, God, we can't lose this game. We can't be the team that loses to Iowa State and ends this streak, and then Iowa State's the opposite. And you guys know this. Chris Doyle will play that fight song, the Iowa State fight song, in the weight room all week. There's plenty going. If you could do a Hard Knocks behind the scenes on either one of these, it would blow that nonsense that the Raiders did out of the water. Because I watched two episodes of the Raiders Hard Knocks, and I was like, this stinks.
Was speaking of things that were highly anticipated and didn't live up to the billing.
That was awful.
This season of Hard Knocks is right there. I agree. Iowa State's got the team out east, and I mean, it's pretty well known their views of this. And like you said, you hear and see some things behind the scenes or talk to former players. And yeah, Doyle makes a big deal out of this.
He pulls that trophy in the weight room because we got there this week for interviews, and the trophy's missing. Where is it?
Which is something Iowa fans may not realize this, but the week of a trophy game, if Iowa is in possession of it, they take it out of the atrium in the football complex. It's gone, and Kirk alluded to that on Tuesday. He said nobody owns it this week. It's a jump ball. And so it's there, and those players have to see that every single day when they're going in to work out. And they know the importance of bringing that particular piece of hardware back to Iowa City with them. We want to know what you think will happen tomorrow. 319-366-1600. I don't even want to know what time are you leaving tomorrow for this. I have a fear that there will be no parking when we roll into Ames. And we traditionally get several hours before kickoff time for road games. It's going to be such a zoo tomorrow. I have a feeling I'm going to have to spend a few more hours in Ames than I really want to tomorrow just to get a parking spot.
Yeah, I don't think you can leave early. They're opening the lots at like 5 o'clock, right?
And they always do this. The Eastern Iowa media gets the lowest priority park. We're in a grass lot, a tailgating lot.
We may see cows when we park.
I'm more worried about people seeing the Linn County license plate and maybe getting the car tipped over on the drive into the lot.
They can't catch the cows, they tip your car over.
3 a.m. they're going to let people line up for College Game Day.
So there's no way we're going to leave early enough to beat them there.
5 a.m. they're opening the tailgating lots. Alex and I discussed this earlier. This is the opposite of how Iowa would handle this. Iowa would try to strictly control people's amount of fun.
Yes.
And Jamie Pollard wants Mardi Gras. He wants Ames to be the center of the football universe, and I think they're going to get it tomorrow.
When that game day camera goes on, Pollard wants anarchy. He wants
anarchy. He wants Pullman, Washington from a year ago.
And he should.
And he's
going
to get it.
And he's going to get it. And this is, look, Iowa State fans have waited a really long time for their program to be in the national spotlight. And Matt Campbell has taken them there. He has them competing for a Big 12 championship this year. I'm not ready to say that they're going to be as good as Texas and Oklahoma because I really like what I've seen from those two teams. But they were picked to finish third at the beginning of the season. It's a long cry from Iowa State being picked to finish 7th, 8th, 9th every year in the Big 12. So hang your hat on this, Iowa State fans, and remember it, because game day doesn't come around all that often unless you're Ohio State or LSU or one of these big-time programs.
Georgia, Iowa hasn't
had it in 12 years, right? 2007 was...
2006, Ohio State, and okay. That did not end well.
It did not. Actually, they put in the notes this week, Iowa's record when game day is present. Not necessarily in Iowa City, but in games that Iowa plays where game day is present, and it's not pretty.
The last win was, I believe, at Penn State, 09.
Yes, yep.
The Adrian Claiborne blocked punt touchdown deal.
I think at the last one in Indianapolis at the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
That counts,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, that wasn't a win.
No, it wasn't a win.
I think that was the last time that Iowa played in a game where game day was present. Rob Howe with us of HawkeyeNation.com. A big thank you once again to Steve Anderson of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, sponsoring the Big Hour here, the 6 o'clock hour throughout football and basketball seasons. Always great to have Rob with us. Your prediction for tomorrow, I'm sure you've shared this already at HawkeyeNation.com. I'll make an assumption here. I think you're going with Iowa.
I did not.
You did not?
Nope. I put my game day preview prediction, all that stuff, the big preview, out on Wednesday mornings, pretty standard. And I picked Iowa State 20-17. I think
I picked Iowa State too. Now we got so many people picking Iowa State. I want to fade myself.
Now I'm worried.
Now
that I picked the wrong side.
I'm going to fade myself.
But I would be fine being wrong because, I know media guys shouldn't have a going in. Having gone into the Iowa post-game interviews after a loss to Iowa State, it's not fun. At all, asking them about lose. I remember James Morris, whatever year that was, over at Iowa State, and that was tough.
That was 2011, right?
That sounds probably right. Was that his freshman year? Yes.
We were discussing that. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
77-98 says Hawkeyes 27-10. They're too strong in the trenches for Iowa State.
Have you seen Iowa State's defensive line?
I have. I don't think a lot of Iowa fans have.
No, Iowa State's defensive line and Iowa's defensive line, they both dominated last year. The front sevens both dominated last year. Which offensive line can stand up to the opposing team's biggest strength better? And right now, I would say Iowa, because Iowa State's offensive line has all. It's not very good. And they're bringing back a lot of starters. I just haven't seen that growth from them that a lot of people had expected. Now, it's only been one game. UNI is a fine defensive front, a fine defensive line. It's a huge step up in competition this week.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one group on the field Saturday that has the most to prove, it's Iowa State's offensive line, without question. And how is Julian Good-Jones going to deal with Epinesa? And does Iowa – I really liked what Iowa did last week in terms of getting Epinesa free with some stunting and getting him, you know, moving up the middle of the offensive line. Epinesa against Julian Good-Jones, and how does Tyler Linderbaum handle Ray Lima? Those are two huge matchups tomorrow.
We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get Rob's thoughts on another big matchup tomorrow, and that's Brock Purdy against Iowa's banged-up secondary. It's the Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
September 14th, join the Iowa Geocachers organization for Hike and Seek.
Come together with geocachers from around the state at Wickiup Hill Learning Center to enjoy a day outdoors hunting for treasure. Anyone can participate and everyone is welcome.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere. Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Join me, the Gym's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live tomorrow before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Welcome back in the Todd Brumel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. We'll get you a quick big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Iowa and Iowa State set to meet tomorrow for the Cyhawk Trophy in Ames, kickoff at 3 o'clock. Still no status update on Iowa State Center Colin Newell. The pregame coming your way on 1600 AM tomorrow on the Cyclone Radio Network on the FMs 106.3, 107.5 FM. KGYM will bring you the Iowa perspective with our in-house pregame show before the boom. Fall baseball underway, I should say. The University of Iowa hosting the Ontario Blue Jays at Duane Banks Field tonight. And Anthony Nelson made a name for himself last night in the Thursday night football game. His Tampa Bay Buccaneers victorious over Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. A big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them on 420th Street in Iowa City, and their Answers by Alexander showroom as well, located on South Gilbert Street. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for the entirety of the 6 o'clock hour. Fridays on the program brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. As we went to break, we let everybody know the next area that we were going to sort of focus on here, and that's Brock Purdy, Iowa State's outstanding quarterback, which Iowa did not see last year, so this will be their first taste of him going up against a secondary that's not exactly 100% right now. How concerned would you be if you were Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker about the secondary?
I would have moderate concerns. I guess without knowing the situation or the status of Matt Hankins, it's kind of the same situation as Colin Newell.
Hankins is playing it by ear, right, according to Wednesday night. And usually when Kirk says that, you lean toward not seeing the guy.
Well, I knew when Cakert asked him on Tuesday, the uncomfortable.
You did the old soft shoe.
Well, there's something there. And that's big. I mean, he's their. I know Ojemudia has had a good start, but I still think Hankins is their best cover corner. So that's certainly a concern. And then there's still, I'm still not, I don't want to say completely sold, but I still need to see more from that free safety spot. Jake Gervais was really good last year. Kevon Merriweather had some hiccups in the opener. Now he's hurt. Kerner had some hiccups the other day as well. So that's such an important part, especially on the road, that free safety spot. That and then having to dig deep into your corners with Moss and Brents, and if Hankins is out, now you're looking at Terry Roberts and DJ Johnson. If you're using Johnson at corner, now it restricts you from using that 4-2-5. Iowa State's probably going to try to get a receiver on a linebacker. We've seen that movie before. I would definitely have some concerns there with Iowa secondary and what. And in addition to that, not a lot of RPO in that first game from Iowa State. I got a feeling we'll see plenty of it tomorrow.
That point right there. Miami, I was chatting with Kevon Merriweather after that game, mm-hmm. and he said that Miami came out and did everything that they had prepared for. They did the opposite. They came out with a bunch of new stuff. They had a bunch of tricks up their sleeve, and they moved the ball. Miami was able to move the ball and cause some confusion in that secondary. They're going to get hit with an onslaught, is my guess, from Iowa State. You say what you will about their performance against you and I don't think they showed a whole lot. They have a bunch of new players. That's my biggest question mark right now. What are we going to see right out of the chute from Iowa State's offense? Are they going to be able to get some matchups and cause some confusions, some confusion in that inexperienced and depleted Iowa secondary?
What does Iowa State do tomorrow to try to neutralize A.J. Epenesa?
I would think that they go to some type of variation of what Miami did, with just in terms of putting extra attention on him. It seems like, at least from the first two games, they really haven't let Chauncey Golston loose. They've really kind of got themselves, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. They're keeping him home. He's setting the edge. They're almost trying to find ways to let AJ loose, and then making sure Golston holds the edge on his side. I'm almost wondering if it wouldn't be advantageous to maybe let Golston loose a little bit this week. That, and then also, I know he hasn't played a ton so far, but Davion Nixon, when he's in, he's disruptive from the defensive tackle standpoint in terms of being able to get pressure on the quarterback. I'm wondering if we see a little bit more of him this week as well.
I know it's early. I know it's only two games into the season, but at the end of the year, looking back on this, it's going to be hard to ignore the importance of Davion Nixon, just given the fact that people didn't even expect him to be on the team mm-hmm. in the spring. He entered the transfer portal. He sticks around, and not only that, throughout camp, he works his way onto the depth chart. Coaches start talking about him at Media Day, and here he is out there making a huge difference. His presence, coupled with Golston and Epenesa and Reef, that makes that Iowa defensive line that much better.
And I think Lattimore's been really good, too. I think they're three deep at that defensive tackle spot. And more questionable on the ends, you know, how it's going to be a little warmer tomorrow. How, you know, different challenge for the defensive ends going head to head with Iowa State's offensive line than the first 2 weeks. Do they wear down a little bit? I mean, they've used Imani Jones a little bit in those, you know, the passing down situations. That's where we talked about the secondary. Having limitations back there limits what you can do up front as well.
And the one aspect of the game that I think has sort of been discussed but sort of glossed over this week is, last year, Iowa's front four dominated, but Iowa State had a statue at quarterback, two of them.
Yeah.
With no mobility, no ability to escape the rush, to get away from pressure, none of that. And it stifled their offense. They couldn't do anything. They literally could not move the football. Brock Purdy can move.
Yes.
Brock Purdy can get outside the pocket. He can make plays on the run. He didn't last week, which
A lot of Iowa State fans apparently were stopping him on campus and asking him why he didn't run more. But you can rest assured he will. There will be plays for him moving the pocket, getting out on the edge, RPOs like you mentioned, Rob. Just a bunch of things that are going to stress that defense, especially the defensive line's ability and stamina to hold up on a, like you say, it's going to be warm tomorrow.
It's going to get in the 80s. It'll be, you know, it's warm. It's that time
warm-ish.
Of year. Yeah, it's not going to be as nasty as it was earlier this week, but it'll be warm for football. And the matchup I'm wondering about is what can Iowa do with Deshaunte Jones?
Yeah.
Is that Neiman? Is that a linebacker on him? And is it going to be a long afternoon? Or do you go more nickel, but now you're depleted in that backfield? That's something to keep an eye on.
And the other thing, will Deshaunte Jones factor huge in this game? Or will a guy like, I don't know, Tariq Milton, who does almost exactly the same thing, step up? Will we see more of LaMichael Petway? I almost wonder if the Deshaunte Jones big week last week was not a little bit of, I'm not saying he's not going to factor huge in this offense, but I can definitely say he's not going to have 14 catches every week.
No.
You and I only ran for 1.1 yard per carry on the ground. Different animal here in Iowa, but how important is Mekhi Sargent and that three, maybe even four-headed running back to Iowa's game plan tomorrow? And do we see a lot of Tyler Goodson against the Cyclones?
That's a good question. With Kirk's reticence to play true freshmen, especially on the road, I think they'll lean heavily on Mekhi and Torin Young, that combo, and then go from there. But Iowa's got to run the ball. There's been a lot of talk about Iowa's wide receivers being better this year, and they have been better, but it's play action is what set that up. That touchdown to Tyrone Tracy, if you watch the Rutgers defense, they all went after Kelly Martin. I mean, that play action just freed everything up, and it has for the first 2 weeks. Everything has been based off Iowa being able to run the ball, and they weren't able to run it last year against Iowa State, and I think they're going to struggle to run it again tomorrow. So where do those plays come from? Do the tight ends get involved tomorrow for the first time? Because the tight ends have pretty much been missing in action the first 2 weeks.
I think that they have to stick to the run, even if it's not working super early.
Kind of like Mississippi State?
Exactly. Right. I'm not saying that they're going to have a super successful day running the football, because Iowa State has done a great job of stopping the run against every offense that they face, whether it's a pro-style offense, whether it's Oklahoma's offense, whether it's Oklahoma State's offense, Texas Tech, it hasn't mattered. Somehow, with their strange schemes that confuse people and their blitzers that they come from all over the field that you don't expect, they've been able to slow down the run. Can Iowa get the passing game going? I'm with you, Rob. I still think it's a work in progress, and I still think that they have a lot to prove. In that Nate Stanley and the wide receivers have a lot to prove if they can do it against a tough team, a really good defense, and here's their first chance.
And that 3-4 with the confusion is not the same, but Wisconsin creates confusion. And Stanley, the last 2 years, has not been really good against either one of those defenses. A little bit better against Wisconsin last year, but can he be calm enough, cool enough to find when the blitz is coming from somewhere or the pressure changes, is he going to be cool enough to find the guy that he needs to find?
We need to step aside and take our last time out. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for the final 15 minutes of the program tonight. Your texts and phone calls welcome as well. 319-366-1600 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. The final couple minutes of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, after this.
Find huge savings now through Sunday during Menards Crazy Day Sale. Save $10 per gallon after rebate on Pittsburgh Ultra Paint and Primer in one. Get an LED Smart Electrician Shop Light for $9.99 after rebate. A Patriot Lighting 48-inch LED ceiling fan is $44.99 after rebate. A 103-gallon Suncast Deck Box is $49.99. These deals are so crazy they're available in-store only while supplies last. So hurry in to save big during Menards Crazy Day Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
6:43, we welcome you back in as we take you into another weekend of college football tomorrow. Iowa and Iowa State kicking off at 3 o'clock on FS1. We'll have the game, the radio call on 1600 AM, pregame at 1, kickoff at 3. You can hang out with Alex at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort from noon until 3. He's going to be inside the Elite Sportsbook located at the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside, broadcasting for 3 hours. Remember to get there before kickoff of the Memphis-South Alabama game, and he will give you his 45-star, 45-unit AAC Play of the Year tomorrow on the Memphis-South Alabama game. Before we get much further, what's the story with you and Chris Williams and Bush Beer? Because the tweets were a little too close to that. I'm sensing some collusion. You get a little under-the-table endorsement money there from Bush guy?
No comment.
Okay.
No comment.
Okay.
But just connect the dots.
Okay. Got to put a hashtag or something on those tweets. I wouldn't know. I don't do endorsements. But this is going to be just an absolute circus, a three-ring circus tomorrow in Ames from start to finish, is it not?
You mean just atmosphere?
Atmosphere-wise, yeah. I'm thinking back to 2002 when Iowa hosted Iowa State and they played the game at night at Kinnick Stadium, and it was just, I wanted no part of it. My cousin and his wife were there, and they were Iowa State fans, and I was walking with them to the stadium, and they were treated so poorly by a lot of the Iowa fans going into this, and it's just going to be the other way around tomorrow. I think I feel sorry for any Iowa fans that are going to be there. It's a great rivalry. I grew up around it. It's fun. But when people have been drinking since 5 in the morning, the nasty tends to come out. So hopefully that doesn't take over tomorrow. We were chatting during the break. You think that this is just going to be one of those games where maybe something a little odd takes place to swing momentum one way or the other.
Yeah, just kind of strange. And if you talk about the 2002 game, how Iowa got that huge lead.
24-7 at the half.
Then the McCartney halftime speech. And then Brad had, that was just Brad's down. I mean, I still talk to Brad
Tim
about that.
Tim Tebrink was the Iowa State, I think he was a defensive lineman who came in and forced havoc in the backfield. And
Brad got a little loose with the football. And that's kind of how I'm feeling, like a turnover, special teams play. Because, I'm sure you guys have broken this game down ad nauseum this week.
Yeah, we've just been talking about the guest picker. Guest picker and Busch beer. That's all it's been here, too.
Is there anything else?
But you look at it, and it's an evenly matched game. It really is. I mean, each team has question marks. Each team has really, the strengths that are obvious. And then there's the mystery of just not knowing what you can, how much you can glean from what we've seen so far with these teams. I think it's going to be something goofy that ends up deciding this thing.
One thing we haven't really talked about is field position and the importance of special teams, which is, again, something that has reared its ugly head for both Iowa State and Iowa previously in this series. Hell, Iowa State won a game entirely on special teams with Brett Culbertson, I think, was the field goal kicker. Shaggy, when he 15-12 or whatever that game was. Iowa seems to have a revelation in Michael Sleep Dalton, who was, in fairness, the second best punter on the field last week when Rutgers was in town. But he seems to have looked pretty good and could possibly be the answer to an issue there.
Yes, and using another boxing analogy, he stayed in that fight with the Rutgers punter and countered as best as he could, because Iowa was in danger, at least. I don't get what's Rutgers. They would have won the game anyway, but that field position in the end of the latter parts of the first quarter and into the second quarter, he really saved them from punting out of his own end zone and at least making that a little bit of a competition with the other punter, but we'll see if he can do it on the road.
That punt early in the game where I think he was punting inside his own end zone and completely flipped the feeling. It was a 53-yard punt. It's not something we've seen very often from Iowa punters. And do they feel good about their special teams, maybe other than a little bit spotty with the kicker right now for the first time in a long time?
Well, I think we kind of... You hope that Nico Reganey kind of got some of the growing pains. Yeah. I know the Rutgers punter was good, but some of the decision-making there, I'm sure that was coached up a little bit this week.
That comes with repetitions,
right,
too.
And he's the new guy there. But you've got Amir Smith-Marset, who has that, that ability to break one. You talked about the 2007 game with Shaggy, right? Then the 2008 game, wasn't that Andy Brodell's punt return?
Yeah.
So both of those games were special teams related.
And you just made me feel really old, because both of those games are over a decade ago, and they feel a little bit more recent than that to me. I keep going back to that Rutgers game. Poor Chris Carlin. He calls the action in a 30-0 shutout for Rutgers, probably thinks a week can't get any worse, and then loses his job at WFAN later on in the week. Is there anything, looking back on that Rutgers game in the last 2 minutes here or so, that you can take away moving forward for Iowa? Did you see anything last week that surprised you?
Not really. I think if anything from those games, you just kind of build confidence for some of the younger guys. I think Stanley's got to be confident with how he's played. As I was talking with off the air, I think conceptually Iowa's done some nice things offensively that we haven't seen before in response to not having two first round tight ends. That the concept of the long 58-yard touchdown to Amir Smith-Marset, Stanley, it was a shotgun formation. You had Torin Young and Mekhi Sargent flanking Stanley. You had a tight end in there with Brandon Smith split wide. They did a it was a nice route tree to open that up. They've run more out of the shotgun this year that's something, because it was always the thing, if Iowa's in the shotgun, they've got to be passing. I think they've given Iowa State some things on film to think about. So it'll be interesting to see what they're able to, if they're able to build on what they've done through 2 weeks offensively.
Yeah, I think back to last year, and it wasn't the beginning of the season, because you remember they got out to a slow start offensively, mm-hmm. beginning of the season, but they sort of hit their stride against the lower level Big Ten teams. They had a really good offensive performance against Minnesota and Indiana. There was another one in there as well.
You and I.
And then against the better defenses, things just sort of went haywire. They've had two good offensive performances. Can they have one against a good defense?
We have official confirmation on the guest picker
for
game day tomorrow.
Is it anybody we've talked about?
Nope.
Okay.
Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register.
He's the guest
Tommy
picker.
Birch.
No.
Oh, okay.
Country music star Eric Church is the celebrity guest picker.
I bet you he drinks Bush
I
Light.
Love Eric
I bet
Church,
you he
but
does.
What is his tie to the state of Iowa?
He's a country music guy, and we've proven to be a state full of hayseeds this week, talking about nothing but College Game Day and Bush beer. Again, my worst nightmare. This is coming true. It's all coming true. Every stereotype you can think of about the state of Iowa is going to be on display tomorrow as a country music star comes in to be the guest.
So he's a cool country music star. He's kind of got that slick, cool demeanor.
So I'm told.
Aren't any Iowa ties with him? I don't know him.
Well, somebody said he has ties to C.J. Bethard's family because
they're that makes sense.
Country music. So maybe they had to use the Iowa connection to get a celebrity there. He's very popular. Very popular.
He's good.
And there you go. The guest picker tomorrow for College Game Day. We said we would drop everything the minute that the news broke. We did that. Hopefully Kyle is still listening and knows that I kept my promise. Eric Church, your guest picker tomorrow. I'm guessing he'll pick Iowa State to win. I said 17-16 earlier today during the pick six, Iowa State. I don't feel great about that, but tough road game for Iowa. You said...
I got Iowa State 20-17.
20-17.
I was thinking all week that this under was the play, but now everybody's taking the under.
I went over, and Alex...
I'm going to go Iowa State 17-10.
Okay, there you go. Kiss of death, Cyclone fans. We all have Iowa State winning this game tomorrow. It's going to be 42-3, just like it was a couple years ago for the Hawkeyes, and I don't think Iowa fans would mind that. Big thank you once again, Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement, sponsoring the big hour here with Rob and our Friday presenting sponsor, Two Rivers.